like,
shape.
Alex always talks, and he always talks about the Federal Reserve. And in some ways, I agree with that. If I think the Federal Reserve are the cause, reason why we have the deficit that we're in, and they're the reason why we have the so-called income tax, too. If we didn't have that, you know, that Federal Reserve, as well as the bankers, which is a part of the, our, that makes up how we, our currency and our money is, and even including worldwide, if we didn't have that governing over our nation and dictating a so-called tax code, then we probably would be able to print as much money as we wanted, and we wouldn't have to worry about the deficit or worry about paying the money on what we made that from our own currency. I don't know if I'm making any sense or not by saying that.
Steve, I'm going to have you run that by me again. I lost something in translation there.
In other words, I'm saying that the Federal Reserve that got started over 100 years ago, they're the ones who brought about a income tax system. They're the ones that were set up to bring about how currency is run in the United States as well as throughout the whole world. And if we didn't have to deal with them, then we wouldn't have the problems with, you know, with our deficit.
And I am not an anti-Federal Reserve person. I'm more for a controlled, I'm more of a controlled Federal Reserve person, you know, a little bit more oversight with it. But I can tell you this, if it weren't for the Federal Reserve right now, this economy would be in a massive, massive depression.
But and let me say this: if it wasn't for the Federal Reserve, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's chicken and egg. You know what comes first? They feed off of each other one way or the other. But you know,
you have the world bankers, and they call about the Illuminati or something like that, the seven families that has something to do with how money is spent here in our own government as well as the United States. I mean, I don't know how true that is. Some people say that that's the, I can't quite say the word.
Let me ask you this, Steve. This is the issue. During the shutdown,
right?
There's one, I think they went back because Wall Street scared them the other day.
And
secondly, I heard that China already told them, you know, suck eggs, we're going to take down your credit rating anyhow. That's what I heard.
So in other words, China, is they're paying off our debt or something like that?
Listen, it's not even so much paying off our debt. We need to quit playing games. And they're playing three-card Molly. And we're being dumb enough to keep on going back and playing and wondering why we're not winning.
What's really interesting in all of this is that a lot of the solutions to the problems that we have aren't difficult. I don't understand. You know, let's talk about a simple one, okay? Now, the country owes $17 trillion. A large portion of that we owe to ourselves. And I'm sure that's one of the things that the Keynesian economists look at when they make the kinds of decisions that they make. But there's no reason on earth why the retirement age could raise the retirement age from 65 to 67 and help solve part of that problem.
I don't want to work until I'm 67, Mark.
Pardon me?
See, this is the problem. I'm tired of them taking my money and then moving that retirement age where they want to move it.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, the moving ball.
Yeah. Well, if they really haven't moved it, it's been relatively steady since its inception. When they did it, when they put Social Security in place, people, you know, died 2 years after they started receiving it. Now they're dying 20, 25 years after they receive it. You can only
support it
so long.
But it was never meant for me to receive my money back, but you took my money in it. See, the problem is it's my money.
And I understand. Listen, I'm all for setting up private accounts.
It's my money.
Yeah.
You're taking my money.
Accounts,
you're taking my money, and then you're going to tell me you'll pay for it. You're going to give me my money back.
Yeah.
At your own increments.
Right.
And then when I die, you keep my money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sounds like my insurance company.
This is not insurance.
Yeah, well, that's not fair.
And, Steve, when it comes to the shutdown and it comes to Congress and Republicans, it's not about Republicans not caring. the problem is what they're trying to do is avoid a catastrophe, and then there are others out there who do not care if a catastrophe comes as long as they're secure. Because right now you cannot be in – the Affordable Health Care Act is not going to be beneficial to all persons concerned. It was not – if you may have great services today if you're on Medicare. But the way things are going right now, because of the way America does business in a very, very, very bad way. You know, Mark and I are working on a project right now, and we're watching the politics of how things really happen.
And it's really scary.
And it's really kind of scary to see how things really happen in the real, real political world, because it doesn't make common sense the way things happen. And there's always an agenda behind the agenda to figure, and you have to figure out whose agenda it is that's going to make you get to where you want to go, and you've got to go to the right places, kiss the right rings, and genuflect to the right people to make simple things happen in America today on a small scale.
I have a solution.
Hey, Miss Tracy, I got to go, man.
See you, Steve.
12 and out.
I just want to...
12 and out?
12 and out.
12 years and out?
12 years and out.
These guys only have 6 years. State Congress, State Senate, they're only in there, 10 years, 8 years?
I think it's 8 years. But, you know, you've got a Senate. Our Senate is a 6-year term. Let's give them 2 terms, 12 years and out. That's 6 House terms, 2 Senate terms, and get out. I didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi. I didn't vote for John Boehner. I certainly didn't vote for Harry Reid. And these people are controlling our lives right now. That's not fair.
But you know what, Mark? I don't know if they're controlling our lives or there are others within the mix. Because when I look at some of the stupidity of how they make things happen, you know, how they get certain things. Do you realize that we started the government back up to shut it back down in 3 months?
Yeah. Did you read in the newspaper article talking about the fork that's attached to this deal that they made? Particularly with Mitch McConnell down in Kentucky, $2 billion for a water control project that's attached. They bought the Republican vote in the Senate through Mitch McConnell for $2 billion.
Well, now, come on now, $2 billion is, you know, if you go make some money, you know, $2 billion is not a
But that goes to your point. The government ought not to work this way. Where's Ohio's? Where's Ohio?
Wait a minute. John Boehner didn't get nothing down there in Southern Ohio?
They got doodly. Sherrod Brown. I've seen Sherrod Brown on television 4 times in 2 days. There's 100 senators, and we got a Sherrod Brown. And I'm still trying to figure out what he's done and what he's doing. And if Mitch McConnell got $2 billion for Kentucky, what did we get? Ugas. And if you're Italian, you'll know what that is.
You got nothing. That's what it means, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Oh. Listen, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, it's open mic.
I'm on my manic phase today, folks, if you haven't figured it out.
Things are going on in this studio. I think it's a chocolate. I'm going to take it. I got some broccoli here.
A chocolate buzz.
I got some broccoli here for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your chocolate away and give you broccoli if you keep it up. And the number is 347-945-5229. I have major problems. I do. I have issues.
You have issues?
I have issues.
Let's talk about the issues.
We are allowing things to happen in our country, in our state, our local, our federal political system, and it touches everything in your life. And we are dumb as horseshoes, and people are really, you know, getting it. We getting it. And this Affordable Health Care Act, listen, this is not about President Obama. This is all about bad policy. And let me tell you what happens with bad policy. Bad policy begets bad policy. And the only rich people are going to be seen about, and poor people will be seen about. But you people in the middle?
You're screwed.
What word was that?
We're screwed.
No, that was the word, that Italian word.
Ugas.
Ugas. The other people in the middle, ugas.
Ugas.
You ugas, you will have ooks. Because you're going to have hemorrhoids in a minute. Ugas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's really bad. And I am so concerned that, you know, our you know, watching them last night, posturing political theater, they don't care about America. They don't, Mark.
I want to talk about a little bit of a story that's moved up the food chain on Drudge.
Hold on. I'm going to take a break. And then when you come back, you have to tell your story. We'll be right back.
Scary
listen to Tracy and Friends
back.
on 600 WSOM. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, humane agents found three emaciated dogs in deplorable conditions on the south side. One of the dogs was found dead in a cage set outside in the rain on Parkwood Avenue. Agents say there was no food or water for the animals, and they were soaking wet. Animal cruelty charges are pending. In Youngstown, the Mahoney County coroner released the identity of a woman found stabbed to death on the west side. Officials say the body of 30-year-old Kalina Lynn Carpenter of Homeworth, Ohio, was found Monday in a vacant lot near the city's water department. She was reportedly stabbed several times, and police are treating the case as a homicide. And Youngstown City Council approved an ordinance to buy the Crest property. They plan to enter a contract with the city's Central Area Community Improvement Corporation. The ordinance allows the city to demolish the vacant building on West Federal Street and use the land as a parking lot. The project could cost about $450,000. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The James E. Winter Jr. Arts and Cultural Center welcomes you to Theater on Three in downtown Sharon. Mark your calendars for October 24th, 25th and 26th, and again November 7th and 8th, as the marvelous Wonderettes take to the stage. This must-see musical follows four girls at their 1958 Springfield High School prom and chronicles their lives intertwined with their loves and dreams for the future. You will be treated to the girls performing such classic songs as Lollipop, Dream Lover, Lipstick on Your Collar, and It's My Party. Box office opens at 6:30 p.m. and the theater opens at 7:30 p.m. Mark your calendars for October 24th, 25th, and 26th, and again November 7th and 8th as the marvelous Wonderettes take to the stage in downtown Sharon. To make reservations, call 724-983-8222. That's 724-983-8222. Sponsored by Cumulus Radio and Quaker Steak and Lube.
This is Dr. Cheryl Figliano for the Centers for Hearing Care. If you have a loved one that seems to have trouble hearing, is depressed, or disconnected with the world around them, please do them a favor. Call one of our local offices for an appointment today. Each of our seven offices has a doctor of audiology and the best equipment available to help with any hearing problem. Visit www.centersforhearingcare.com or call 888-866-HEAR.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
I need a data backup solution for my business to replace my current tape backup device.
Do you want to spend a lot of money?
No.
Do you want to store and pay for replicated data?
No.
How about a solution that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
Barracuda Backup. End-to-end protection for physical and virtual servers, including data deduplication, to significantly reduce storage requirements, and replicated cloud storage for assured recovery, and live humans to answer your call. Try Barracuda Backup free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
If you love me like you say you do, you see, baby, I've been thinking about it, yeah. I've been wanting to get next to you, baby. You see, sometime I fool my arms, I say,
hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And Mark Manji's in the studio with me. You know it's a third Thursday because he's here. And I'm glad to have him in here. He's going to tell us a story with something that he's reading on drugs. But I'm telling you now, I am so baffled by what's going on in our system. And I've got so much on my mind because it is just really, really saddening to me to watch how things are going. And we're sitting on the sidelines going, oh, well. Guess I'll watch another rerun on TV.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about a story I saw yesterday on Drudge. And for those of you who don't look at the Drudge Report online, there is a time lag from the time a story appears on Drudge to the time it hits the other media, and that includes Fox News. There's a 2 or 3 day lag. The story was number 2 or 3 down on the list, and it has to do with Chase Bank. And what Chase Bank is doing is they sent letters out to their business customers who have certain types of accounts, business accounts with them, telling them two things. You're not going to be allowed to withdraw in cash more than $50,000 a month from your account by writing checks, and you're not going to be able to wire money overseas. That is really scary stuff. Now, I want you to understand what Chase is. Chase runs, for the most part, the EBT card system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are getting food stamp assistance with your EBT cards, you're probably using Chase kinds of exchanges. Now, Drudge moved the story up today to its main headline this afternoon. And they did an update on the story because this is expanding within the Chase system. Other business accounts now are getting these letters, basically saying that you're limited as the amount of money you can withdraw once you deposit it, and you're limited to what you can wire overseas if you're allowed to wire it overseas at all. And we need to know why they're doing this. And there's three reasons, and I'm looking at the updated article today, why Chase would be doing this. Let me preface it with one more thing. Those of you who think Barack Obama is for the little guy, let me give you another story. Barack Obama has climbed into bed, literally, with every major corporation in the United States and every bank in the United States. He has been their lackey, and he has gone and carried their water. He is, I watch a lot of CNBC, which is the business channel. Those of us who watch this stuff, you hear about crony capitalism. Where you get crony capitalism the most is with the banks. These are the big banks, and the big banks are getting bigger right now. And all these regulations that they enforced on the banks, the little banks have to comply with too, and they can't afford it. So the big banks are coming in, and they're absorbing them. Rather than get, you know, too big to fail, all of these banks right now are too big to fail. So here's the three reasons why Chase might be doing this. The first reason is capital controls to prevent money leaving the country as the U.S. dollar continues to devalue. Note that Chase will allow international wire transfers coming in, but not going out of the accounts. Note that they are only concerned about risks when the money is being moved out of the account. Number two, forcing businesses to abandon cash and switching everything over to digital currency that can be more easily tracked, traced, and controlled. Or number three, part of a preparatory phase for Cyprus-style bail-ins when the government announces a new tax to gouge a percentage of the people's savings. This is scary stuff, folks. This
Mark.
Is Banana Republic scary stuff. And you know what? You know, you sit back and wonder, how does all this affect me? Let me tell you something, folks. They can do it to these guys. They're going to be able to do it to you. Why do they want to control? Are you going to go put your money in the bank? Now, I told my wife to go move hers. But the article goes on to say that other banks are now considering this, and that this is not going to be limited to Chase. So I think now it's time, you know, for the public to stand up and say, what's going on here? Who's doing what to whom and why? You talked about the Federal Reserve. You talked about the Illuminati. You talked about those things that are a little lurking in the background. This is the stuff, folks, and that's going to come to a bank near you.
But, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't understand that, you know, those of us who do not have that kind of money.
I'm sorry?
If we don't have that kind of money in the bank, we don't understand what it means when you don't have access to it, even as a business. Because, see, if you look at the mindset of a lot of people, when you look at a business and cash coming in,
mm-hmm.
we never talk about cash going out.
Mm-hmm.
See, we never understand that when you work inside of a retail establishment and you have maybe several thousands of dollars coming in,
hmm.
we don't understand that of the several thousands of dollars that you have coming in, you may only be able to keep 10% of it, and
sure.
then you're doing good.
Sure.
People don't understand that. So when you're talking about a bank and $50,000 and me not being able to take it out,
yes.
we don't understand that, what that means.
I want to tell you what the last paragraph of this says. Finally, we've seen the Internal Revenue Service attempting to bar Americans from leaving the country simply if the IRS has opened an investigation on them. This isn't shades of tyranny. This is hardcore authoritarianism, and everyone should be concerned. If you are planning on getting your money out of the country, now is the time. If you haven't withdrawn your cash from the bank, you should have done it yesterday. This is the fact that they're even printing an article like this is scary, scary stuff. Now, do I believe the banking system's insecure and going to collapse? No, not at all. And I'm very secure with the banks, but you know, here's what's going on. Now, it's not going to affect you today, but you go to some of these other countries over there, this is where it starts. You start up at the top, and then it works its way down. And they will eventually come to you and be telling you how much money you're allowed to withdraw. This comes from Big Brother government authoritarianism, watching what it is that you do, and the instigator of this is Barack Obama.
Now you don't come on, Mark.
No, it isn't.
No.
He's letting this go on. This isn't going on without him knowing about it. His Treasury Secretary knows about it. His all of his financial people know about it. He talks to Jamie Dimon, who's the chairman of Chase Bank. This is a concern, folks, and it's going to, you know, the fact that Drudge moved it up and reprinted the story for, you know, this is the third day it's appeared on the site, I think is very, very telling, and it's very upsetting, and we need to be concerned. It's not a joke. They're doing it. So what do we do with it?
I think we should do a lot with it. The question is, are people paying attention to it? I mean, look, we're not paying attention to anything, Mark. I mean, seriously, I'm going to play a clip when I come back from the break. Do you realize that we have no clue what you're talking about?
Listen, you go out and you sound the trumpet and you wave the flag and you ring the bell. Folks, this is dangerous, dangerous stuff. And if you don't know about it, get off your duffs, go online and read about it.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, I was just listening, Tracy. I couldn't get you on the My heart, so I'm just listening right now, but I'm liking what Mark's talking about.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm having issues.
Yeah, the issue I have is you say this stuff, and people, like Mark's saying, you don't have to believe him. Go look it up, and it's factual. But nobody wants to take that effort. They want to believe what somebody else tells them. Go look it up for yourself. We're not ignorant. You know what I mean? It's there.
How could you say this about how could you say that about President Obama?
Because it's true. It's true. He made the other Italian phrase we're going to talk about, making the kund. That is, he made the deal with the banks. Do you think, you know, the banks are going to support this guy as long as he lets them do what they want to do? You don't see any criticism for it. This guy is a supreme politician, and I don't care whether you're D and down over here at school board level or up at the President of the United States, politics is politics. This guy has managed to get people who should be their natural enemy. He's managed to make them his friends by giving them what they want.
Then why won't he give America what they want? We
so
want to be his friends.
Doing it. You know, what do you think that EBT that EBT gig is worth for Chase Bank from the
Ooh,
government.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot
through.
Of money.
No, this is bad, bad stuff.
Hey, Alabama, hold on just a second. I've got to take a break. I'm going to play this clip, and then I'm going to go to my break, and then I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WFM.
Lead
the
mic over, Tracy.
In the critically acclaimed new movie, All Is Lost, a title many say could be applied to the situation in Washington right now. Why that segue? Because the actor has a lot to say about what's going on down there. He sat down with entertainment correspondent Ms. Michelle Turner, who joins us live.
Hey, you know, the last time I spoke with Robert Redford was right after President Obama was reelected. And, you know, I wanted to talk to him about what he thought about how the president was doing in his second term. Well, when I sat down to talk with him about his new movie, I asked how he thought things were going right now, and let me tell you, he did not hold back.
This is Virginia Jeans with an SOS call. Over.
Robert Redford calls his new movie, All Is Lost, pure cinema.
No dialogue, no barriers between you and the viewing audience. I like that.
This movie is a journey and all Redford, but we don't know his character's name, his backstory, and we almost never hear him speak. A mere three lines of dialogue in almost 2 hours of film.
It was more like a silent movie, and I like that. I like the idea of, can you tell a story without having any dialogue? You should be able to do that, and this gave you the chance.
One topic the acclaimed actor and director can't stay silent on, the real-life political drama playing out in D.C.
You know, it's funny because we could almost name All Is Lost what's been going on in Washington.
Right. Don't get me started on
right
that.
Well, I wanted to ask you because the last time we spoke, President Obama had just been reelected, and we were talking about what you wanted to see for his second term. What do you see right now, and what do you think so far?
Well, what I wanted to see was is turning out to be a bit of a dream that never came true. I don't envy his position. I think he's a good man. I think he's an intelligent man, a compassionate man who can't function in that environment. That environment, it is so decrepit. It is so paralyzed. And the worst of it is that it's paralyzed by intention. There's a body of congressional people that want to paralyze the system. I think what sits underneath it, unfortunately, is there's probably some racism involved, which is really awful.
Is that the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about?
I think, well, I don't know whether it's an elephant. It's some kind of animal.
The snake?
It's in the room. Yeah, whatever it is, I think it's in the room. But there are other issues. It's not just racism. I think it's a group of people that are afraid of change. And they're so narrow-minded that when you see some people, when you see change coming, get so threatened by change, they get angry and they get terrorized and then they get vicious.
Is that change universal health care? Is that change having someone that doesn't look like the norm as the leader of the free world?
Doesn't
Is that...
look like the norm
yeah.
in their mind. But I think just the idea of giving credit to this president, giving him credit for anything, is abhorrent to them, so they'll go against it. Never mind that it's the better good of the people. Never mind that they're supposed to be in office representing the interests of the public. They're representing their own self-interests, which are very narrow and in some cases just bigoted.
You know, I'm going to bring you part two in the next hour where I ask him that...
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren.
Wow. Hey, who on the mic?
Larry's here.
You the only one?
Can you hear me?
I'm in here. This is Alex, but
Alex, good thing you wanted to. Look, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about the USDA proposing to shut down food stamps when there's no reason they should have done that? Like, why was that even put out there?
That's the first time hearing about it. What's the story behind that?
I haven't had a chance to really study, go all the way into it, but from what I've seen, they were proposing shut down of food stamps nationwide.
And it put a run on.
You talking about like EBT?
You
talking about like EBT?
Yeah.
That part, everything.
I wonder why they wanted to go straight after the poor people that people that are helpless. You know, at least that's the narrative. I mean, why would they go after the directly after them when we're way away? We're light years away from that. Like, why was that the first thing came out of people's mouths?
Hold on for a second.
You
want Alex, or you want
to
open that to everybody?
Is anybody? I mean, I find it interesting. I find it real interesting. Like, I thought that was kind of foul. Like, you know, I mean, I think that's foul. I mean, not even Ron Paul's talking about just cold turkey cutting folks. Even if you want to reform the system, nobody's saying that. That was low down to me. That's real low down. But that's the government. But you know, that's another story.
You know, it plays into the narrative. First of all, you have the false narrative that the Republicans were shutting everything down. First of all, if anybody knew how the system worked, bills always originate in the House. The House passed the bill to continue the resolution to fund the government, but there were some spending things in there. The Senate didn't even take it. Harry Reid wouldn't even let it come to the floor of the Senate. So, and then that's when they said, well, we want it. No strings attached, or we're not negotiating.
Well, I think it worked out for the good because he got what he wanted, everything he wanted. I think that's good. I think it has to go through this narrative. It has to run its course. So it has to. I mean, let it go through. I mean, people are going to remember Republicans fought him, but they're going to, you know, like your boy, what's his name, Robert Redford, is racism. I think people have a worldview. They come and they look for something to fit their worldview and bolster their worldview instead of letting the facts speak
and
where they
are. The Republicans blocked it, so now they're going to take food from the poor. The Republicans don't care about the poor. They don't care about the veterans being locked out of the war memorial. It was all
No, the USDA. The USDA is government ran. I mean, why would they want to shut down food stamps? Like, that was the first, like, you know how many things you can shut down before you shut down people's ability to eat? That's life. That's a lifeline, according to a lot of liberals. That's a lifeline to a lot of people. Why would you cut that out? If I took the government over, I wouldn't just go cut food stamps out first. That's stupid. That's not smart.
That's the
number one thing. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Now, that's crazy. Right there. Now that people should be outraged about that.
You know, I look at it as we elected these guys to lead us, right? And they're not leading anything. They punted. That's all that happened yesterday and this morning was they punted because we're going to revisit the same debt ceiling and same thing. And my thing is I've heard liberals trumpet how this president, the deficit, the fiscal deficit, by record numbers. If that's the case, how are we still buttoning up on the increasing this debt ceiling? Because that's all we did in January 15th.
No, he just cut. He cut the level of growth. That's all. I mean, they really didn't cut that's about the level of growth.
Well,
There's a level of tax dollars coming in that's dwindling. So they really, it's kind of like is they're being forced to budget because the money's not there because people are afraid. They're afraid of Obamacare. So people are afraid, okay, am I going to have to pay an extra X amount of $1,000 to the government as a business owner? So they're afraid. So the money just ain't coming in.
Well,
not like it was.
That's a false narrative, too, because if you look at fiscal 13 that just ended September 30th, when the numbers come in, we collected as a government, federal government, more money than we've ever done in the history of the United States, $2.6 trillion. The problem is we spent $3.4 trillion, almost $700 billion more than we collected. So that's why when somebody says, hey, we'll pass the continuing resolution, keep the government open, but we got to curb our spending, or we're going to be back at the same spot. I heard somebody tell me the other day on Facebook that we've always been in the debt, which is not true. But they also said that we can always just print money indefinitely, and you can't do that. You see that happening all over the country.
Well, that's just cheapens the dollar. That's somebody that doesn't understand economics, period. But it's kind of interesting. I just find it interesting, the whole food stamp thing, that the USDA, Department of Agriculture, wanted to shut down food stamps. I thought that was real, real telling. Like, if you are dependent on the government, you are that's the bottom of the you're a bottom feeder. You need to hurry up and get off as soon as possible. I'm not saying that there aren't situations where people are struggling financially, but if and when you get to that point, you need to be breaking your neck trying to get off as soon as possible, because being dependent on the government is not the way to go. I mean, some bureaucrat decides that they want to cut off your food. Now you can't eat. That's the number one thing. And if you – I done been on them, so I understand the way they work. I understand there were times where I really didn't have any money at all. I didn't have a job. I was trying to get transitioning, so to speak. And during that period, I needed those little couple of $100 a month. So I can just imagine what a person would, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean I agree with it. It could have been done a different way, but that's another story. But cutting it off altogether,
But, they're playing to keep. I mean, the way they're playing the game, they're playing to keep. And that's what this
is. I think the citizens need to realize that the government is the enemy, period. Like, the government is the enemy. Benjamin Franklin, what he said, resistance against tyrants is obedience to God. I mean, these people, man, the government is the enemy, man. There is a inherent flaw in being a leader of a specific political system. Once you get to the top, it's human nature to want to feel as though I'm the haves and they're the have-nots.
SOM.com.
Just about every...
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hope you're having a good day at 6 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And Mark Mangi and I are here in studio. And it looks like we're lining up in the queue. If you want to give us a call, we want you to talk. We want to talk to you also. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. And before I went to break, Mark was talking about this president and the president of the United States, President Barack Obama, and his alliance and allegiance to the banks of across the globe, and how they're in bed with each other, and we think that he's for the little people, when in actuality it doesn't look as though that's what's happening.
There has been a number of
Tracy, does anybody have an account with Chase Bank? Does anybody on the phone have an account with Chase?
Yeah, me.
So they sent you a limit. Is it true that they sent you a letter saying that you can't make international withdrawals and that there's a limit on how much you can withdraw?
Those letters went out to certain business accounts. Now, not all the business accounts got them. There were certain, there's different styles of accounts. And then what they did, apparently they expanded the letter to include some more accounts. Right now, all these are business-oriented. They're not personal accounts like the one that I have. But you will find that, you know, these kinds of things, they're testing the waters on this right now. And
That's what they did in Greece. And they're about to, yeah, and that's, they're getting ready so that when it does collapse, which we every 3-4 months we're going to have this debt argument, as long as until we just go ahead and just fix it and get it done. But whatever they're going to do, go ahead and...
Because my question is, then I played a clip with Robert Redford talking about how this president can't get anything done, and a lot has to do with about being people not liking change and racism inside of Congress.
He's in Hollywood. He has to be cool. He has to be. He's a Hollywood actor. They have to be cool. They have to be cutting edge. So for him, he has to think that way, and he's going to have to find some stuff to bolster his argument. So anytime anybody disagrees in the government right now, because he's in office and has been there for 8 years, I'm like, what difference does it make if they fight him now? He ain't going nowhere. They fighting him now for other reasons. So it is what it is.
Who made Robert Redford the authority on this? That's what I want to know.
Because
the media.
Is.
Well, he got money. He got money. He in Hollywood. He got money, and they know better than us because we want to be like them.
Celebrity.
Yeah, we want to be. I mean, Robert Redford. Come on, man. He's the natural. He's a natural, though. Remember?
Natural what?
You remember the movie The Natural? He took the bat and cut it out of a tree, and every time he swung it, he knocked the ball up there and knocked the lights out. When I was a little kid, I used to watch the movie. He's a natural.
I like the Butch Cassidy.
By his definition, is a liar. He plays somebody and gets you to think that's who he is.
Yeah.
But look at what he said. He said he wanted to do a movie where people don't speak and he just uses facial expressions. He understands. He needs to run for office.
I'm Italian. I've got lots of expressions.
That's bad, Mark.
I have hand gestures.
Look, Tracy, what you think about them trying to shut down food stamps, the USDA? You heard about that?
Shut it down?
Yeah, they talked about it.
Down?
I mean, why ain't nobody heard about it? USDA was proposing, it's going to go away now, but they were proposing to stop the EBT cards from operating. They had proposed that if they don't hit the deadline.
They stopped working for a while.
They did, but that had nothing to do. My question is, they didn't talk about it.
No. USDA, Department of Agriculture, there probably was a glitch. There wasn't no glitch. They probably was testing. I just don't trust the government. So if you depend on the government in healthcare or anything else, you'd be breaking your neck trying to get it as far away from them as you can. Because these people are, to me, I think as soon as they get everybody, once they break the back of America and everybody's broke and everybody's on the government, then they're going to start wiping people out. That's what I believe. And I know it seems far-fetched, but you know what? Two planes flying into a World Trade Center killing 3,000 people, and then one of the buildings not getting hit and falling down in 6 seconds, and we're supposed to believe that? I don't put nothing past these people. In the first building, that building 7, that was Giuliani's headquarters that day. So he moves out of the headquarters, and the building just all of a sudden collapses without getting hit by nothing. The building right next to it didn't collapse, but 500 feet away, another big man, please. Yes, I believe that they'll kill people. Yes, they'll kill people. Gulf of Tonkin, they kill American troops. They kill people to do stuff. Yes, this is we dealing with a demonic, evil government. Period. Bottom line, Republican and Democrat.
So, not so blind, Mike. How you doing today? We know how Alabama's doing.
Yeah,
the government's open.
I'm just listening to all this, and I'm finding it interesting that I agree that Robert Redford is the perfect spokesman to put up on TV right now. When you think of his work history, the message he sent out years ago, like when he was part of the Sting, it's okay to con people, when he was in Sundance Kid there. When things get really bad, just jump off a cliff. That's how you fix it.
Or you can pay somebody $1 million. Or you can pay somebody $1 million to sleep with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or you can, exactly. You can just hand somebody $1 million to break their morals.
Take his wife.
To see what the price of their morality is. Oh, you mean like all these people that are on the government take right now, and that someday are going to be told, by the way, you got to mark you with this little beast mark here, contrary to your Bible, and if you still want groceries, and. It's just the messages are in his movies.
They're telling women to be prostitutes in Germany. They're telling women they need to go out and work the streets.
Yeah.
In Germany. They're getting crazy with this government. These people, it's all the same at the top.
Right, and when Hitler created the elite, the Gestapo, the SS, when he created the elite SS, single German women were encouraged to get impregnated by the men to create a race of right-thinking, loyal Nazi people. And you're going to see that someday, too. Hey, all you people out there getting government money, you got to just get down with some liberal or something. I don't know, the mayor of your town or something. We need more voters like you. You know, it's crazy. You just shake your head in disbelief because I agree with Alabama. Who makes Robert Redford an expert? The media does, because he says what they want said. You don't get on the media. Tracy, you ought to know this, babe. You don't get on the media in the public eye unless you say what it is that pushes their agenda.
They want
to
hear.
That's why she was itching. So I was itching to get you to say it. I was like, why? Why? What's so profound?
Yeah.
What it, about his history, past history, says that he's such a... You know, he can tell about the motives of people.
Yeah.
So he's smart enough to look into people's hearts
guys, listen. You got to listen to this. You got to understand. He's Robert Redford. He is a white man telling white people that the reason why things are not happening is because everyone's racist towards the president.
Except, well, it was on his cue cards. Did you see the way he was looking
the whole time? No,
he had a cue card, and he's so dumb.
Still,
they had a picture of a black guy with an arrow pointing say he's
Mike,
black.
No, Mike, you got to understand, it's another thing when a white man says, it's one thing for Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton to say it's race.
Oh, I understand.
It's a whole other world for a white man to come out and say. The
right.
reason
and,
why
and,
things are the way they are.
And this is why, Tracy, and again, I touched on this yesterday.
Because white is right.
Time, yeah. There is this dysfunction in all human brains that they have diagnosed. Whoever tells you something first, that,
Mike,
that's
this is not about Mike, this is not about first. This is about white saying it, because if a white man says it, then it must be true.
But what I'm getting
that's
at
right.
is the Republicans
right.
keep playing response, and this is why they're losing so much ground. They're not the first one to come out with the talking point. So the person who comes out with the talking point, even if you're telling the truth and you're the second person to talk on the subject, the public perception, every human's perception, is you're the liar.
Well,
the person
hold on,
because I got to go back to the banking issue. Remember,
yeah.
we're talking about people's money.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to the bank and them telling you you have $500 in there and you can only take out 10% a month?
Yeah, that's a better run on the bank because they're getting ready to pull some stunt.
So tell me why is it, because remember, if you're talking about certain businesses and certain business accounts, why in the world would you automatically change my account? This is not a
All
new
you
got to
do is look at the news in Greece. What did they do in Greece when their economy fell apart? They did the same thing with the bank.
Alabama, let me listen to what I'm saying. This is not new accounts because of the status of the account. These are existing accounts, and they tell me that I have been doing business and doing international trade out of this account for a number of years, but now I can't do any more than $50,000 a month, and I can't do foreign electronic transfers.
They're trying to stop you from running.
Okay, so the question is, why don't they want me to run? And how much?
Because they want you to die. They want to trap you.
Alabama, you have to realize how much money people have offshore today because of the poaching of people's money. They tell me there are trillions of dollars that are offshore. What'd you say, Larry?
It's the Cloward Pavlin strategy. You collapse the system to where the people will accept anything that you put in place. That's the rules. The name escapes me. Who was the guy, the Radical Underground, Weatherman Underground?
Bill Ayers.
Bill Ayers.
You know, they all belong to that same that philosophy. You collapse the system.
And Piven. Yeah.
Yeah, Cloward Piven, that's it.
Yeah.
You collapse the system to where the whole thing just goes, you know, haywire, and then you can build it up to something that you want it to.
I want to know what
J.P.
Morgan knows and we don't. What do they know that they're doing this?
Well, I'm thinking J.P. Morgan dead, ain't he? I don't know what you're talking about.
Hold on.
Man,
you're there. What'd you say?
Yeah, I was going to slide inside you guys' bubble and just say that what Robert Redford was saying. I don't know if it had anything to do with the banks that you were saying, but what he was saying, it was absolutely true. Those outside of the bubble here, you know, and you guys click, everybody else knows what's going on. So it's not really a surprise for us. I've already known about this, you know, so it's not for us to hear it. The rest of the world, 75% of the world, it's nothing new.
Covina, man, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
This is Alabama. Okay. Sure. Now, we have no concrete way of measuring thoughts and intentions in people's hearts, right? You will agree to that, right?
There's no way you can know.
If I come to you and I say, hey.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I would not agree with that, no.
Okay, so if you get, look, if you black, right, you go in the store and
yes,
you
sir.
Steal something, and the police take you to jail, they take you to jail because you black or because you stole something.
Why would I go to jail? Why would I go in the store?
I'm being hypothetical, dude.
Well,
come on, stay with me now.
If I went to a store and stole something, you're a criminal.
Okay. So I'm saying when Barack Obama does something and people, it doesn't make fiscal sense and people disagree with it, how do you know for a fact that it's truth that is racism instead of maybe it doesn't make financial sense?
No, Pete, that's not what it is. You're fitting everything.
But how do you know? Give me a good reason. Give me
general.
A good concrete. No, we're doing logic reasoning right here.
Okay,
logically, why does it make sense
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, get off the hypothetical example because you said you don't believe that. So I'm just trying to give you logically, how can you know the intentions of a person's heart? You're going to say
we
by their
track
actions?
Record. We have a
but
track record.
If
yes.
you're going to say, oh, if you're going to say by their actions, okay,
yes,
so if you're going to say by their actions, there can be 5 or 6 different motives. I can be, you know what I'm saying? There are 50 different motives why some
yes.
people do things.
Sir,
it's not always racism.
Alabama.
So I want to know
we
what
have,
makes
okay,
you triangulate
Alabama.
On
Hello.
Racism.
Alabama. Hello. We have a track record, Alabama. We have a track record.
Whoa.
It's not as if we came
hey,
out of nowhere.
Kovina Man and Alabama, both of y'all like to talk.
Yeah,
I got to
sure.
do one at a time.
Hey.
I want to know from, you said there's a track record. What is a track record?
Yeah. It depends on the person. You can't just generally say, what's
no,
the track
no, no,
record?
I want to Alabama, wait a minute. Hold up. I want
to
hear the track record. So we're talking about President Barack Hussein Obama. So. That,
yeah,
what
right.
is this track record that shows me that everybody's racist against the poor black man in the White House?
That's a general statement. What we have is we have a specific instance. If you would say the Republicans, for example, you would say Republicans in the House, for example, then you have specific track records. You know what a Republican's track record is. You know how
okay,
they
oh, so you're saying out of 430
Alabama,
people.
Hold on, wait a minute, Alabama, wait a minute. Hold on,
I want
him to get this out. Because I really want him to tell me one thing that you can say that shows that everybody is hating on the man because he's black and it's a race thing and he can't have Obamacare. I mean, what? Tell me
like,
what
like
makes
said,
this a racist statement and what why everybody hates him because he's black.
They show up, all these white folks this past weekend, showed up to the federal whatever, tore down some monuments, walked down the street with Confederate flags.
No, they tore down
barricades.
There was barricades. There was
right.
one.
Pick up the barricades and threw them.
Right.
So white folks get the riot. White folks get the riot in Washington, D.C., marching with the Confederate flag to the White House, yelling at Obama, and then we can't say that's racist.
One person had a
yeah.
Confederate
oh, hold
flag.
On, hold on, hold on. He made
hold
a beautiful
on,
point.
Alabama, hold on, Alabama.
No, that's
hold
not
on.
Alabama. That's Blind Mike.
Well, hold on,
Alabama
Mike. Wait a minute, Mike
yeah.
in Alabama. Wait a minute, because I got to let Alabama in. And go ahead, Mark.
That story in Washington was a bunch of veterans who were there, who were served in World War II and went to see their monument. And it was, and in testimony yesterday, the Park Service said yes, they consulted with the White House before doing that. This was done to inflict pain on the veterans. So the veterans show up there to protest this the other day. And CNN, the first thing out of the CNN coverage wasn't that these were veterans. It had conservatives rally with Confederate flag. That's not what happened. That's not what this
that's
was
not
about.
What happened. You're exactly
were,
right, Mark.
You know, these were veterans who went there to their memorial and don't want to be shut out of their memorial that is normally open. It's absolutely open. There's no barricade. There's no nothing. And the federal government went and deliberately put barricades to keep these guys out. It's the single meanest thing I think I've ever seen a president of the United States do to people who stormed the beach at Normandy. I'm sorry. You know, let's take that from this, you know, these guys, and we're not going to take it anymore. Now, enough of this garbage. This guy is hateful, he's spiteful, and he's mean. And to my African-American friends, please tell me one thing he has done for you. One thing.
He stopped. Okay, I'll tell you one thing right here. He stops your racist ass. He beats your racist ass.
How did he get elected then if the country is all racist? There aren't enough black folks who liked him to make him the president.
Most of your racist ass people like you didn't vote for him. We got a few white people out here that's not racist. And then the majority of people out here who are not white. We go together.
Well, you wear your black skin and have your bigoted attitudes inside. I made it to the third level of an interview for a job in this White House. Screw you, buddy. You don't know what you're talking about. You want to flip the racist bird to the world when the truth is you're sitting on your behind bitching, but you ain't doing anything to fix the problem.
I got
these idiots who carry a Confederate flag at Martin Luther King functions here in South Carolina. You're as bigoted as they are. And
Tracy, I got one where the white man was trying to take him down.
Pardon me?
I do have
an
telling
example.
You. What, call me a racist? I know more about the black movement and self-empowerment than you ever did.
Tracy, you're going to let me speak a minute ago, Tracy.
Huh?
You say you're going to let me get in now, Tracy.
I'm trying to get you in. Go ahead, Alabama. Hold on, Larry.
The thing is, and this is the thing. I know a lot of black people that think like this guy. So it's not. I think it's systemic of a problem because let's be honest, we're going to take a laxative now. This country has done some things systematically against black people, and
That's true.
I'm going to tell you this. Hold on, make a point. They've done things systematically to hold black people back, and right now black people are upholding the party that is only using Machiavellian principles, which tells them give them just the, so they'll keep coming back and use it, and we use them, but we're never going to empower them to be on their own 2 feet. So black people are fighting for that dope man to give them another hit, which is the Democratic Party. So, I'm all for fairness. If we're going to be fair, there are some things that this country has done to black people, and that's why black people are upset. So this guy calling you a racist, I think that's just lazy because he don't know you. So he don't know you. He don't know nothing. He don't know nothing about nobody on this phone. Right. Can't call you racist. If anything,
just
say people disagree.
Hold on, Mike.
People disagree with President Obama. I cannot tell you the motives. Look, I think President Obama hates America, but I can't tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody that voted for Barack Obama hates America and everybody that voted for him is stupid and ignorant. See what I'm saying? I wouldn't say that about Diva. I think it's crazy, but I do think there's logic behind it. There is logic. To just say everybody that disagrees with the Democrats is racist, it's just lazy. Lazy. Just sorry, lazy, poor excuse. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't.
Alabama, hold on, Covina, man. Diva, your mic is on.
Oh, well, thank you. I was having this very same conversation with my ex-boyfriend, who is white, and I don't know if he's a Democrat, a Republican, or a Libertarian. You can't put him in a box, but he really has a strong dislike for President Obama. I can't say he's racist. I can't say he's bigot because he was dating me.
He's racist.
That's a little different. That
right
deal. But go ahead.
Hold on. Whoa. Now, that's not true.
I'd like to ask people something, but I think they're sexist.
That's not true.
Okay,
but we'll get to that at the end. But I'm going to Diva to finish a point one at a time, guys. Don't jump because we got another call coming in. Go ahead,
okay.
Diva.
The reason why I say that there is I agree with what Robert Redford was saying, and it's not because a celebrity is saying it. Any black person who has been discriminated against in this day and age knows what coded words are, coded actions are based in racism and bigotry. When you have a Congress who, before any other time, has fought and argued, demeaned each other in the public view, but in the end, they sat down and they got stuff done. You had significant bills. Bill Clinton, we got welfare reform. Whether you agree it or not, we got NAFTA. We got all kinds of good stuff coming out of the Clinton administration. We got a balanced budget. And I would have to say the reason why we got good stuff is because the two sides sat down and they actually worked together. This time, you don't have that. You have, since the election 2010, you had not one significant piece of legislation coming out of
Diva, let me stop you right there because I'm going to let I think that's Brown coming in. Listen, Diva, during the Bush administration, do you realize that Congress was going around naming post offices because they couldn't get anything done? Was that because he was a black man?
No, but we got the Iraq War. We got
no, we didn't. No, Diva, the only reason why we got the Iraq War is because people were running on emotion, pure emotion.
Okay, but it doesn't matter whether.
But
you
it did matter when your president. Listen, Diva, it has nothing to do with this man being black. That's
okay,
our problem.
You know what? That's your opinion. That's your belief. You may
listen
think
to
that.
What I'm saying, Diva.
Are you crazy? You can't.
Diva. This is the asinine stuff that I can't handle. That is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. That you don't know if I've ever experienced racism, and I'm from Hubbard, Ohio. way the heck do you think I was raised?
Stockholm syndrome. This is called Stockholm syndrome.
No, yeah, baby, you don't. No, you were raised in an all black neighborhood and never seen white folks before. Because, see, you think white folks and black folks are your friends, and you got to understand there's some good white folks and there's some good black folks and there's some bad white folks and there's some bad black folks, and they're all over, and they're Republican and they're Democrat. But some of the things that are going on in this country right now have absolutely nothing to do with the color of the man's skin, but have to do with the policies that he's actually representing. And how you can call them racist. Wait, hold on. No. Because, see, you have to realize, if you understand this, that if President Obama had been a white man, we'd call him racist because he ain't done nothing for nobody that looks like you.
Okay, right there. Okay, start right there, right there, right there, right there. Okay, you tell me. I'm going to start right here. Now you tell me where I'm wrong. I'm going to tell you, anybody tell me where I'm wrong. Where did this birth certificate come from?
What birth certificate?
Say what?
Where did the birth certificate argument come from?
Wait! I'll tell you where it came from, because he went to college and said that, and people that knew him from school said that he was a foreign exchange student. He on many occasions, he has a book he brought out where he wrote in the back of the book, he says he's from King. He said he was born in Indonesia. His name was Barry. So he went and paid millions of dollars to have his record sealed, and then he didn't really produce it. Birth certificate for what, a good 2.5, however long, many years. So look, I ain't even saying I agree or disagree, but that's why people questioned it.
Okay, right there.
Okay.
Let me finish the point.
That's racism?
Yes.
That's racism. You
know what? And we had the majority of white Republicans that believe that he's not a citizen. He was born somewhere
else. Hold on. And I'm going to take a break and then I'll leave the mics on. But listen here. Do you realize that they questioned George Bush's, his actual service to the military?
George Bush didn't serve the military. Don't get it twisted.
No, it was Dan Rather, but I'm just saying. Remember, they forged some documents or somewhere along the line, and they did some things, and they said he was in, and they questioned if he had any service, all that
before
kind of stuff.
Election.
Remember that? Was that because he was white? This is politics. This is a grown man's game. And we got panties out there thinking about it's because he's black. He ain't because he's black. It's not because he's a woman. It is about power, money, and influence, not the color of his skin.
And that's the comment I want to make right now. The discussion today has kind of evolved into an issue of racism, which is fine. It's a legitimate discussion. But the problem is it started with talking about banks limiting the amount of money you can take out of your account. It's talking about banks preventing you from shipping money overseas. And these are serious non-racial things that need to be addressed. And what I'm saying is the banks are tied in with the president. That's not a racial issue. That's a fact.
It can't be a fact, Mark, because he's doing it because he's black and he doesn't want you to send any money to the European nation. We'll be right
back. And he knows it doesn't affect black folks because they're all poor, according to the Democrats, and need the federal help, and nobody's getting $50,000 a month from the federal government, no matter how good your welfare system is. So you see, it is a racial thing.
Okay, I have a question to ask. Okay, when I was 23 years old, I'm not old, but when I was 23, there was a bar up on Youngstown.
Diva, make your point, but I gotta address that he ain't racist because he's dating a black woman thing you said. I gotta deal with that one. Go ahead.
All right. I went to the bar.
Either was Strom Thurmond.
No, I was 26. I was 4 years removed from college, okay? I went to the bar. I used to go to the bar every weekend. Never had a problem with showing my ID. That particular night, I went in, and I was stopped by the bouncer, and he says, you need a college ID. And I was like, well, I'm not in college. Well, he's like, it's college night. I'm like, it's Saturday. How's college night? So I'm standing there, I'm questioning him, and a group of white kids walk past me, they show their ID, and I know their age because of the way the Ohio ID is set up. He lets them in with no problem. So I said, well, why did you let them in, wouldn't let me in? And I noticed another group of black women came behind me with a group of black guys, and they stopped them and wouldn't let them in either. So I sat there, and I watched them let another group of white people, a little bit older, into the bar. So I asked him, I said, well, why are you letting them in and you're turning away all black people? He said, well, you have to, they're VIP. I said, well, how do you get on this VIP list? I've never heard such a thing. So he gave me the rules. He showed me on the board how you get to the VIP and whatnot. So I left out. So as I'm standing there, I'm talking to the black group. The first white group I saw came out, and I asked them, I said, oh, so you guys got in? She's like, yeah, it's dead in there. There's nobody in there. And so I said, well, let me ask you guys, do you have a college ID? She's like, no, we're not even in college. I was like, oh, so you guys are on the VIP list. She says, no, we're not even from here. It's our first time coming. So I'm trying to figure out, so we're left standing there trying to figure out, so you tell me, was I not admitted into that club because I was black or just because I didn't have a college ID?
Because you're black. Because you're black.
And because the owner probably told him he didn't want a lot of black people in there.
But again, like you said, Alabama, we don't know for 100%. We just don't
You know something, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a duck.
Okay.
Yeah, well, then
you've got to
eat some strange meals.
My thing is, we never had, Democrats hated George Bush, okay? But you didn't see stuff that you saw. We didn't just say, no, we're not going to work with him. President Obama, the Republicans in the Congress could come out with a bill and say, this is what we want. And President Obama could be like, oh, that's good. That's good right there. And they would not, they, you know what, they'll turn around and reject it. You tell me what is that about. Okay, do they just
those
hate the man?
Those same
people. Wait. One guy.
But they did the same.
You could say Boehner. You could say Boehner, right? You could say one guy.
They did the same thing against Clinton, but to deny that there's any racial animus against Obama because he's half black would be naive. But, you know.
Let me say this point right here. Nobody said that out of the 300, 200, however many Republicans in there, that all of them don't have an ounce of racism. I'd be lying. I'm not a fool.
There's Democrats there that don't like that he's black. There's also
Bill Clinton said he'll be carrying his bag.
You know what you also have there? You also have a bunch of older white men that are probably envious as hell that this young half-black guy has maneuvered his way into the top spot that probably 99% of them want for themselves as well. So there's a number of factors working there.
I mean, you're right, and I won't disagree with you. And I think Bill Clinton got some of the same treatment when he was, because he was young. They didn't like him either.
Bill Clinton would tell you they didn't like me, but they really hate this guy. No.
Bill Clinton made a point saying this guy be carrying out bags a few years ago. So Bill Clinton, who had a mentor, a Klansman mentor, is not a good example.
Okay.
Bill Clinton. Because he wouldn't be one of the ones that probably hate him in your eyes.
Somebody else brought Bill Clinton up. I'm just making a statement. That's what he said. Because you said they did. Somebody said they did the same thing to Bill Clinton. Well, Bill Clinton will be the first to tell you. Yeah, they didn't like me, but they really
hated
him.
Look, this is the thing. This is the thing right here. Let me make a point. Let me make this point right here. I work like, and the job I do is like a corporate job, right? I got white folks in here that don't want to speak to me when they see me walk down the hallway. I know half of them probably racist. But you know what?
You
when they come
him,
to my desk,
you love them like him.
If I'm going to be 100, let me be 100, though. When they come to my desk, my stuff in order. I'm going to have my stuff together. And at the end of the day, I'm just saying something. If he does something, President Barack Obama does something, and it does have and they have validity to their argument, and it does make sense, then we have to at least say, well, we don't know if it's racism or not. But that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that everybody that's against him is 100% not racist. Nobody on this phone is saying that.
But here's the thing. When George Bush was in office, Senator Kennedy worked with him on No Child Left Behind. Other Democrats worked with him on immigration.
McCain working with Obama now. He tried to help him go to Syria.
And when Bill Clinton was in office, Newt Gingrich worked with him. What's your point? Some congressmen cooperate, some don't. Look back 100 years, not 6 minutes, when you make a statement.
When Bill Clinton was in office, he bent over backwards and pushed the Republican agenda.
Because he got cooperation, it was because he was a traitor.
You can't start off negotiations saying, I'm not going to give this. I'm not talking. I'm not busting. And that's what he said.
Well, that's
you
when there's a hostage negotiation.
There should be no negotiations because
they're not looking at Obama. They're not looking at anything Obama did.
We never know that part.
Speaking as an independent, the Republicans the Republicans are in worse shape than they've ever been in my lifetime. And this is speaking as an independent. You guys are going to be complaining and fussing for another eight years because you're in bad shape right now. You're completely divided, and this was a fiasco. This was
a fiasco. You guys don't even understand the political process.
The political process, the Republicans lost. You guys don't understand the political process because you lose the election. When you lose the general election, what happens is the policies of the president are generally triumphed. And you can't understand that. You guys like to complain. You're losers. Get used to losing because you're going to continue to lose. Now you're divided.
Here's what the thing is. You're gonna claim one party's the losers when we all lost. They punted. We elected our leaders, and all they did was punt because in January we're going to be revisiting the same shit because we haven't done anything.
But it ain't
going
to be like it was. They learned their lesson. They learned their lesson. They thought they could do it.
We got to watch them out. We got to watch them out because they made a big fuss about Brown doing it a couple of weeks ago, so we can't be cussing on here because.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have no idea. And for that man to call the Republicans losers when we all lost. Everybody on this
you
call.
Did lose.
No, you lost.
You're a loser.
No.
You're going to continue to lose.
I think this is the point though. When we all suffer, because I think when this stuff kicks in, business. Then everybody's gonna suffer. If it is bad policy, if it isn't, then we just losers, like you say.
But if they're right, and it does cause
unemployment to go way up when it starts kicking in and these businesses start having to pay these extra taxes and everybody go to part-time jobs and stuff like that and Hispanics get jobs
because
they're not American citizens,
you're already seeing it. Hospitals laying off people because of Obamacare.
But you lost. It's the law. Get used to it. Quit whining. You Republicans are a bunch of crybabies. You lost.
Of editorial comments on a daily basis from the newspapers and magazines in the United States. I have read at least two, maybe three different articles talking about the change in the makeup of the political parties. Now, you've got the Tea Party folks over here with the Republicans. They're basically libertarians. That has been a branch of the Republican Party for a long, long time. But the Republican Party has been known since the Depression as the party of big business. And what's happening right now is a reversal of roles. The Democratic Party is actually becoming the party of big business. And that's because the President of the United States gives special deals to his friends who are business corporations. The Republicans are becoming the people for people like me who are out not promoting big business, but I'm out promoting individual freedom, individual liberty, and small government. That's not a business position. Obama's allies are some pretty. When you get Citibank and Chase and
Goldman,
U.S. Bank Corp, and Bank of America, these are very, very strong allies of the president. Goldman Sachs. Geez, oh man, Goldman Sachs was bailed out by the government. And Warren Buffett made a ton of money on it. They made a ton of money on Goldman Sachs because the government supported it. And now Warren Buffett is a nice supporter of the president. So who's friends with whom? And they're fooling everybody else. They're fooling the middle-class people. They're fooling the ordinary guy out on the street trying to make a living. And it's a problem, and if we don't wake up, it's going to be too late. They're controlling our health care. They're reading our email. They're collecting our data, and now they're going after the bank accounts. That is really scary stuff. Each little step on its own, I could live with that. You look at the totality of what they're doing, we need to wake up, or we're going to have Big Brother watching us every single inch of our life. I don't think that's a world country I want to live in.
Local call, guys. Listen, I got a local call coming in. Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, fine. I was just listening to you all talk about Obama and what's been going on. You know, people calling him a racist and whether he is or whether he isn't. But the only thing I'd like to say to everyone that's listening is that a lot of people, countless thousands, fought and died to make this country what it is today, or actually what it was a few years ago. And it, one man and a few followers want to take that all away makes me mad as H. And I don't like him. I don't like what he's doing or his administration. As far as I'm concerned, Democrats are communists. That's all I got to say. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
You know something?
What's
that? Sour grapes from the right, you guys really need a pep talk. Your party's divided within itself, and you guys just like to complain. You're the most unpatriotic group of people. Why don't you just jump on the bandwagon? You lose the elections. You can't pass your legislation gets passed that you oppose. Why don't you stop being so un-American?
Excuse me. Most of the kids in the military who put their life on the line are in the conservative party.
Why don't you stop being so
un-American?
And why don't you join him for
the
greater good? Obviously, the majority of America doesn't agree with your views. That's why you lose your election.
Back the phone up a little bit. That's not necessary. That's not true.
You lose the election.
I'm not agreeing with your views. The president's popularity right now is at 37%. I'm sorry. That just doesn't match up to the fact America doesn't like Obamacare. America right now, his approval rating is between 37% and 40%, and we have a Republican Congress. I'm tired of hearing that, this is the guy who was elected and be American and all that stuff. I ask you.
He doesn't want to live in this country.
Obama,
you guys don't want to live in this country.
Tell me something you like about Obama. You're a big defender. Tell me what you like about him. What has he done for you?
Love it or leave it. It's America. Quit whining.
What has Obama done for you?
Who just said hello?
Hello?
Who's that?
It's Reggie, Tracy.
Hi, Reggie. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, Trace, I'm not going to hold you up or anything in general, but I said that I wasn't going to call in, listening to the program, just listen. But I'm really kind of disturbed, over what I'm hearing. Mark, I listened to what you're saying and stuff, man, and I totally disagree with what you're saying. You're asking people, and I'm going to say people of color, black people, what has Obama did for us in general? And maybe you're in a better position by being a Caucasian that you see things a lot different. But from the very beginning, you knew the Republican Party, what their plan was, far as being not going along with anything that Obama wanted to do in general. You know this, and I'm really offended to hear you make the accusation of what has he done. He hasn't had the opportunity. Now, you're going to sit there and probably say,
Let me finish what I'm saying.
Then you can say anything you want to say. But, I just want you to keep the record straight, because, it becomes, for myself personally, it's very sickening to hear you say some of the things that you're saying. And then the last thing I want to say far as for you is the fact it always kills me all the time when I hear Caucasian people like yourself and all you Caucasians say, well, for my black friends. Do you know how sickening that is to hear that all the time?
What are you talking about?
I heard him make that statement earlier, Tracy, during your program here today. I was just listening.
It's condescending.
And I was just listening, and it's sickening, man. It's sickening.
Well, Let me say this.
My last thing in general. I don't know how you're gonna take it, but I'm directing this basically toward if this is Alabama in general. Alabama. When I listen to you talk, sometime, man. It really bothers me, and I want to ask you: do you hate that you're black?
This is the problem I have. No.
I'm going to answer.
You asked me a question. Right. I love this question. You know what bothers me? What? No, I'm going to tell you what bothers me. Look,
no,
I'm for reparations. No. You cannot ask me a question and not understand where my worldview comes from. Because you think, see, this is the thing. I stepped off the plantation. I stopped thinking like the rest of black people. So I'm on thumb. That's your narrative. It's real simple. It's real happy meal, real simple ABC answer. But let me take it like this right here. See, I'm for empowerment. If you for empowering black people and putting people in a position where they can own their own, like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, like they were talking, I'm with you. I'm not against that. What I'm against is if you look at a state and local level like Detroit, all rising tide raises all ships. They came in, the Democrats came in, they did all this stuff they wanted to do, and black people suffering in Detroit. They suffering in Chicago. They suffering everywhere that these programs have been run. We've been voting a certain way. We're not holding these people accountable. I'm not saying vote 100% Republican. I'm not saying vote 100% Libertarian. But don't vote 100% one way, because that's just stupid. That's what I'm for. Don't just say I'm an Uncle Tom just because I disagree with 95% of black folks that go out and vote Democrat and then don't think until another next presidential election.
All he asked you though was, "What do you hate being black? Yes or no?"
Obviously, he said that because I don't agree with the total. I don't toe the line like the rest of the black folks. That's the problem.
No, I'm uppity.
I'm uppity. So why would you ask me a question like that? There's nothing about my statements that make you think I hate my own people.
And Alabama, you still haven't answered the question.
I said no.
Alabama, hold on. No question, man.
Listen, Alabama.
Thank you, dear. I just wanted to get that. It was killing me.
I'm glad you got it out.
All right, I'll see you.
Bye. Thank you, darling. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Listen, this is the issue. How can you tell me that you think that I hate being black because I don't toe the line? When the slave ran away from the plantation, the other slaves hated him and thought he was a sellout because he left. Sometimes you got to leave the plantation to find out that you were enslaved. And the problem that I have right now and with everything that's going on and what we're talking about right now is that we are being indoctrinated to believe in something. I heard Tavis Smiley saying the other day, even though he was going to keep the president on the forefront, when the president comes out of office, African Americans are going to be so far behind economically, it'll be before we were in Jim Crow. I don't think we understand that. Now, if the president was a white man, we would have problems with him. But because he's black, he gets a pass. And we blame white people because we say everyone else that they won't let him get anything done. I don't think we're listening to the words that are coming out of our mouth. Steve called in earlier. Steve said, well, Obamacare is the law of the land. And since it's the law, we ought to let it go. But then right now, I don't know if you guys are paying attention to what's happening to affirmative action in education out of the Supreme Court in Michigan and the University of Michigan, what's going to happen there. And you guys know I am not quote unquote pro affirmative action the way that it sets today, but I am pro affirmative action because it gave us access to places that we could not go. But see, they want to go after affirmative action, but they don't want to go after the partial system that they have when it comes to alumni's children and people who work there, their children. No matter what kind of grades they get access to that type of education. I don't think we pay attention to that. And we really need to wake up, because right now we are losing.
Trace, I got to go. But I enjoyed it. But I just the point he made about being black, like, what is being black? What does it mean to be black in America? Like, people have to look at that, because I guess to be black, I have to think one way. I cannot think another way, or I'm not black. I have to think Democrat to get the government to come give us what we can't give ourselves. We can't do it ourselves. We're too stupid. They'll tell you that you can't do it. You can't. We can't even get a driver's license. So I mean, I'm just you know,
I just want to have a discussion about that one day. What does it really mean to be black in America? Because people say that, but they don't really want to get into it. Because to me, it bothers me. Like, I love black people. You know what I'm saying? I'm black. I'm from the hood. Proud of it. Proud of our history. Proud of what we've done. Everything. I love that stuff. Let's not look at it like us not holding people accountable has done us some good. We're not holding these people accountable when they win these elections. They just get in and tell
us,
I ain't got to do nothing for you.
Oh, yeah. And that's what they do. And they do that to everybody.
That for homosexuals. He won't say that for Jews. He thinks he won't say it for Jews. We'll say
he
won't say it for black people.
I'm
tired of us being the toilet stool. I'm tired of us being pissed on. And then they turn around and tell us, when somebody say something, we hate our people. That's just stupid. I'm sorry. People think they're better than you because they look at you like, man, you don't think. They think they call people monkeys because this guy said there's no critical thinking skills. Doesn't he see his situation is dire? Maybe he needs, if the political system set up where they think they can get something from you, then they'll do something for you. Whether you are, I don't care what you are.
Hold on. I got to try to call you. Your mic is on.
Have the same question. What is black?
That's the question.
I don't know.
Black is a combination of all colors of the spectrum.
Of African ancestry.
Absolutely, and their African ancestry that are indigenous to America. That's what black is. That's all people?
You know what, Tracy, I'm going to say this right here. I put a post on Facebook. This feminist posted a Facebook.
Alabama, let me finish
those people
statement.
Got something
Alabama.
To say about,
dude,
this is my last statement,
finish.
I'm finna go.
No.
I promise you.
Wait a minute. No. private caller, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No,
I'm
not
enjoying,
you, the other one.
I'm enjoying
the
show.
The one who just said, what is black? Are you there?
Yeah, that was him.
There's a academic
Brown.
But
are you asking Brown? Were you the one asking who what is black?
No,
I was going to try to.
No, I don't want
you
to answer. I'm looking for the person who actually asked the question.
Oh, he's around there.
He gone, Tracy.
He's not in my
house.
He
ain't gone.
But look, Tracy. There was a feminist that put a post up that said, for all you people that criticize Scandal, the TV show, I'd rather be the white man's whore than to put a piece of gum on the bottom of a black man's shoe. Elf black men.
What?
That's what she
Who
said.
That?
Now, this is some feminist. This is the feminist. This is infiltrating the black community with these sisters. But I'm the one that hates us because I say, hey, maybe this isn't the best thing for us to get what we want. But I hate black people.
You guys got to stop paying so much attention to what any idiot says on Facebook.
Brown, man, that black feminist movement is moving in this black community. There's a lot of sisters out here that think like that. I'm not just saying.
Listen, I'm going
to
take a break.
Yeah, and they can think anywhere they
want. Yeah, Matt, your mic is on.
Doesn't affect
Hold on,
life.
Brown. Brown, Matt, your mic is on.
I'll wait till after the break, Tracy. I'll give you some time.
Listen, all the phone lines are on. So I need you guys to play nice when I go to break. Can
you're
you guys
talking
do
about
that?
Race and you want, you're talking about race and you want people to
We're
play
not
nice.
Talking about race. We weren't talking about race. We were talking about banking.
Black, race seems to be the topic that I've been on the line.
You played that Robert Redford clip, Tracy.
I did what?
You played that Robert Redford clip in the middle of you talking about banking. Where do you think the conversation was going to go? Race is a much hotter topic.
Hold on.
Than
hold on. I got to go.
These seminars hold with on. The state of black America. I've watched them on C-SPAN and different channels, right? Right. Are black Americans better off 5 years into the Obama presidency?
Let me answer your question very forthrightly. No, they are not. The data is going to indicate, sadly, that when the Obama administration is over, black people will have lost ground in every single leading economic indicator category. On that regard, the president ought to be held responsible. But here's the other side. I respect the president. I will protect the president, and I will correct the president. He's right on this government shutdown. Republicans are thwarting the rule of law with the Constitution. If they let this debt go into default, they're trampling again on the...
SOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren.
I have an issue because black conservatives, black Republicans, black libertarians, whatever, they don't like being questioned about whether or not they hate black people. But yet they have no problem with the type of language they use and talk, and how they talk about black people when they disagree with them as well.
That's not,
I mean,
both sides,
I have,
Diva, for every example you could give me one way, I can give you three examples the other way. So don't worry about that. That's everybody does that kind of crap.
My
ignorance,
thing is,
that's
my,
all it
my
is.
Thing
talking
is,
up to ignorance.
So you can't really get upset. I mean, there's no point in really getting
right.
upset that somebody asked you or feels that you don't like black people.
Right.
Well,
yeah, what is black in America?
Well, according to Tracy and Jeff, President Obama's not black. So.
Right. So what is black in America?
It depends. You know something? You know, we're not. I'm going to answer that in a more logical way, because it's hard to define white in America, and the best way to describe someone's viewpoints, opinions, and lifestyle is their socioeconomic level. Okay, because you can't start to tell me that a black entertainer or athlete or even a black professional lives the same life as somebody that's black, that's impoverished, that's in the inner city, that has generational government dependency. So their lifestyles, their opinions, their views, everything is going to be different. So when you're asking,
what is black?
But listen to what I'm saying. That depends on your socioeconomic status.
No, because there's white people that are low socioeconomic.
And you know something? That's why you can't marginalize and defend. That's why you can't marginalize and describe white people or define white people. Because it would depend on the... Yes.
So when I look at somebody who's white, I think they're white.
You guys talk over everybody.
Yeah,
no one can hear anyone.
That's what we do.
And that's very annoying to those of us who are old like me. And the
other
thing is, where's the middle class? Where's the middle class in the black society? I've been listening to Tracy for like 2-3 years, maybe 2 years or so, going on 3 years, and I've heard a lot of things. And, you know, no matter what I do, you know, I would like to think that Tracy is my friend. I am white. I listen to everyone. I'd like to think that, you know, you guys, if you were to my home, you'd be welcome here. I'm white. How do I fit in? How could I ever fit in to a black society to be friends, to be the middle class, to be a helper, to be a friend?
Just keep being yourself.
The people
you
who
like,
are black.
You seem like you're successful. You seem like you're successful at it. What's your concern?
Well, what I'm saying is, when I hear, you know, I know that there are some suffering people who are black. There are suffering people in America who are white. Now,
right.
I bring that up. It always seems to go more than the other way. Now, we know when the president won this last election, he didn't do it, you know, not 100% of the people in America voted for him.
But, ma'am,
you know,
go ahead and make your point.
There are some people who are black and white who did not vote for our president. And their policies are important, too, and maybe they are the middle class. Maybe they are local people. Maybe they're those of us who are on this line listening to Tracy and friends.
We need to define black.
I'm still trying to understand your point.
You can't define black. Black is a skin color.
Well,
black,
if you can't define it, we shouldn't talk about it.
Descendant of an African American. Because when I look at a white person, I don't say, oh, you're white based on your socioeconomic background. You're white.
If you can't define black, you don't know who you are.
Well, they can define black if you have a great 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 grandparent that was black and everyone else was white.
Exactly. Well, no, it depends on the perception. President Obama identifies with being black. He calls himself black. Why? Because he said that's how society looked at him and that's how they treated him. When
that's
they saw
not necessarily
him, they didn't
true
know. Oh, you wouldn't know. When you look at him, you didn't know he has a white mother.
Socioeconomics is more important than color.
No, that's exactly what I said.
No.
That's exactly what I said. That
Beasley,
was my point.
You really
black,
think
you're not
being
black. If your appearance,
you're wealthy and black. No, no. If you're wealthy and black, you're still black. People just treat you different. You have access.
You have the ability. You have the ability to hire people. People.
But black is meaningless. Then black has no definition.
I don't
so
have.
Black
that.
Is
I'm white.
Is this my friend, Mr. Solution?
Yeah, this is Mr. Solution. I recognize his voice. You haven't been on here for a while.
No, I didn't know that he even frequented these parts. Let my man, Mr. Solution, speak. It's Beasley. Good morning.
Because Beasley said, go ahead, Mr. Solution.
Mr. Solution is smarter than me.
I don't
think smarter,
all
and
smart.
I'm smarter than all of you. So listen.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm funny sometimes.
Listen, hey, I just want to clear something up really quick, and it's something that Reggie said, and I think people take it out of context. And dealing with when somebody, and it's very true, if somebody says, this is my black friend such and such, that is demeaning. But, however, a lot of people take it out of context because if we're talking about race relations or race issues, and I happen to say, yes, well, I have a friend of mine who's black who disagrees with that viewpoint, I don't think that I'm being demeaning because I'm pointing out something that needs to be brought up in context. And I think a lot of people are called out for that, incorrectly called out.
But
you know,
that's
Matt,
the wrong way to say
you know,
it.
Matt,
even the way you just
people,
said that is
people,
right.
People, I noticed that people really don't listen to what people say. And once a code word is hit that hits some type of emotional button, people will turn someone's words around and make it mean what they feel it means. I hear that happen all the time, particularly on Blog Talk. I think if you were to say, this is my black friend, I don't think that's necessarily demeaning. I think it's totally demeaning. I don't. I think what it indicates is this is my black friend because I have a black friend and most of my other friends, and he's different than the rest of my other friends. It's kind of setting him apart. You know, this is my dumb friend. But if I were to say, well, she can have a different opinion. But if I were to say this is my dumb friend, it would indicate that all my other friends are smart. Or this is my rich friend, it would indicate all my other friends aren't as well off as this person.
So if you say he's your black friend, then everybody else is not as dark that you know.
Hold on, that's what it indicates.
That's what it indicates to me.
I'd like to see what Diva's take on this is.
Hey, people like to get defended over everything.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In the context in which it was spoken, no, it wasn't demeaning. I just thought it was point. I said my white ex-boyfriend. So.
Now, that was demeaning. That was demeaning.
No.
We have evolved in this
I'm making a joke. You guys are too uptight.
That's why I laughed.
Yeah,
black
it's a joke,
no
right.
Color.
Okay,
black
cool.
Black is no longer a color. We're beyond that. Black is a culture, just like there's an Italian culture and there's a Spanish culture. There's a black culture in America, a way of speaking, music preferences. I mean, there's a demographic that defines the black culture. Now, where the problem comes in, you still have the old clingers to the old way it was, where black meant only race, and it meant, you know, some were slaves and the whites weren't, and they want to still go back to those good old days and mint juleps and all that. And I understand those folks, but thank God as time goes on, I honestly believe there's fewer of them walking around amongst us to pollute this society. But I really think black, meaning-wise, has evolved to being a culture. And it has its values, and it has its, just like every other demographic, it has its choices. And
but you know, now that is demeaning, because what you just said indicates that blacks are monolithic, and all blacks think the same thing.
No,
and
no
black
more than
people
it is
feel
to
this
say
way.
Jews are all monolithic. There is
well,
a culture
they,
that people
they may be more
Jews.
Monolithic than any other group.
You know something, stereotypes aren't bad if they help you start a definition. It doesn't mean they're 100%. They're not one-to-one correlation. But let's face it, if you polled 1,000 people on this telephone line right now, define a characteristic about your favorite black friend, what's one thing you know about them, it would go into full culture definition. It would not be demeaning. It would be, well, okay, when you talk about I have a friend of mine who was the past president of one of the major record companies.
The number of seconds start to learn.
And he will tell you, there was a demographic of who bought most of Stevie Wonder's records. There was a preference there in the culture.
Yeah,
and that's not
yeah.
demeaning. It's just facing the reality of the numbers.
The definition of
this
black.
This conversation is exactly why America will not be able to move forward with relations, because we're
never.
Do
you think everybody
never.
Is supposed to be the same in this country? Do you think everybody is supposed to like the same thing? Do you want to live
it's
in a world of monolithic robot
same.
Clones?
It's about.
You
no,
don't
it's
find,
not about being.
You don't find joy.
You know what?
The
right
to vote.
I don't
the character
say,
and
I
ideas should be the only issues, not this thing called black, because no one knows what black is.
Exactly. It's a culture that people are referring to. It's no longer a skin color. We're beyond that. We're way beyond that. It's a recognition that there are certain things that the majority of people that we would categorize as black have preferences, just like Italians and Jews and Spanish, and you know, and it's a whole culture that you deal with. So. And it's sad that unfortunately the people who want to be exclusionary in this country then now have elevated their standard away from skin color to the culture. Well, the reason
who's
I don't
this
like
talking?
Is
you sound
like
you
music.
Have you sound like you have a meconium offense. You must not call onto this show too frequently.
I listen quite a bit. I love Tracy.
Who are you? What's your name?
Blind Mike. Not so blind.
Oh, hey,
Mike.
I don't know. I like Mike.
Well,
that's not so blind, Mike. He doesn't make excuses. He's got good sense about himself.
And I've been and I say this Beasley or Brown or whichever you prefer.
I like Beasley.
Okay, Beasley, then that's what it will be. You have the right to pick what you want. That's why I used to be pissed when they kept wanting to call Muhammad Ali Cassius Clay. I'm going, the man has the right to pick his own name. You know, most people don't have the courage. They leave themselves stuck with the name Sue because their mama gave it to them. But the point is, I've been on that end of society with ignorant people who don't like you just because you fit a category or a stereotype. Being black, I've had that. I've had job discrimination, et cetera, discrimination in education. And I've run
imagine.
Into situations just like Diva has where they wouldn't let me in because I was blind, okay? And I've had those things. But you know what? At some point, you just shake the dust off your sandals and, as the good book says, move on down the road another mile. Go find
yet
someone who does like you and hang with them.
Yet your name is not so blind, Mike.
Because he has vision, because he can see.
It's true that when you experience things
no, I have a good
like
nose.
That
I can smell BS.
No, well, you probably can smell
you
better. You probably, I know
off.
That you pick up a more acuity in one sense when you lose the another, so you
oh,
probably
now that's a stereotype. I know, listen, as blind people go, there's some of those aspects that I do not
you know
have.
What?
My hearing
I was
isn't better.
I was taught that in school. Excuse me.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's that liberal teaching agenda you were a victim of. You see, we can make an argument out of anything. You know, if we want to nitpick everything we all believe, look, you got to wake up every morning believing 95% of what you already know is true. You can't wake up every morning and believe everything you know is wrong because
or you'll
be
confused.
You're a neurotic mess.
You won't tie your shoes together.
Right.
Right.
Take real
you
tiny
steps. You won't out the door because you know the whole world hates you.
Right.
Why go out and confirm your worst in the fears?
Right.
Hey,
like
guys, did Tracy
the
bring you guys back, or did she leave us forever for the rest of the day?
I don't know. I haven't heard her.
I did my own monologue without any interruption so that people
okay.
that are listening to me on terrestrial radio
uh-huh.
and on iHeart could hear me and not you guys.
Oh, yeah.
What did you say, Alex?
Hear no words of wisdom.
Yes,
you just got to listen to us.
Because I know what I'm doing, because as I said what I had to say, I'm quite sure I would have been interrupted and I would have lost my train of thought.
It happened.
Sweetheart, you could just mute the Blog Talk side of the station.
I can't do that because that takes
actually,
too much work.
Actually, this has turned into one happy group.
Huh?
We all love each other. I want Diva to put me on her list. I'm the next white man she's with.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Diva.
Steve,
now, Diva,
change my voter registration in bed some night.
Now, Diva,
How do you know you're even white?
You know,
ooh.
You're right.
Oh. Ooh. Wait a minute, guys. I gotta bring Matt up. But before I do that, I got to tell Diva a story. Diva, you realize that a white man can date you and still be a racist, right?
I was being facetious. I was not.
I just wanted to let you know that. I didn't know if you knew
but
that.
But the reason why I said that is because any white man who dates me and is a racist and a bigot, you wouldn't be wanting to date me. That's why I said that.
And that's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, it is, because I'll make life miserable.
No.
Diva, they might be
so
after you.
And so hold on, Diva. So now is he your ex-boyfriend?
She said that.
Okay, just
he's
talking.
My
hey,
ex-boyfriend.
Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hello, Tracy. It's a fun day already, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's only a quarter after two.
I just want to touch on a couple quick things. Number one, I need to define something. And it was a conversation that Diva might know what I'm talking about that I had last night. And it comes to the word progressive. And for some reason, people think that the term progressive comes with the term progress. And everybody seems to think that progress means that things are getting better. If you look at progress and what it's actually about, Hitler was able to make progress with his agenda when it came to making the world purely an Aryan race. He didn't succeed in his goal, but he set the goal. And the goal that he set, the closer he came to, he made progress. So progressive and progress does not mean the same thing. Progress is a goal that one sets for themselves, and the closer that they come to it, the more progress they personally make. So I just wanted to define that. The progressive is not always a good thing because it's progress. Number two, and Beasley, if you would just let me finish, and then you can knock me down. When you say that that we're sore losers because of what's been happening, you need to step back in time. With the second inauguration of George Bush, and when they said that he was cheating, the left, the Democrats, the liberals were saying that he cheated and that they stole the election. And it went on for months and years beyond that. And all they did was complain. You have to say the same thing about the liberal Democrat side, that they were sore losers. I'm not a sore loser. And I don't think I have lost. As a conservative, I've lost because of my the way that I see things, the way that I think things should be according to history and according to the Constitution. I've lost. You're absolutely right. And I'm going to fight to make sure that those things are put in the limelight so everybody can see who is responsible for the path that we are now going down. I'm done.
I call them sore losers too.
Hold on, 692, your mic is on.
Diva, I'm white, and I would date you just by your voice alone. But what I want to talk about
think you ought to have a program on who's going to date Diva. This is really great.
It's her voice.
You don't think my voice is nice?
What?
He'll date you next.
Hold on. Hold on, 692, go ahead.
Okay. I think we're witnessing the death of the Republican Party. I really do. I guess I don't really respect the opinion of the Tea Party so much because they don't realize that they are destroying the party, okay? They believe in what they believe in. They believe in these ideals. They believe in words like liberty and freedom. And, you know, they did a study, and they said that, you know, fascist leaders use the words liberty and freedom more than any other leader. They counted the times in speeches they use words like liberty and freedom. That's a side note. But, you know, I believe that the Tea Party and the Republicans are in total self-destruct mode, witnessed by the poll saying 70% and upwards now blame the Republicans and the GOP for the shutdown, despite all the efforts by you guys to say it was Barack's fault, the Democrats won't negotiate, and all this stuff. The American people, ignorant or not, of the facts, whatever they may be, blame the Republicans for the shutdown. The John Boehner can't control his own house. They have to bribe and do deals within their own house, okay?
That's good. That's good.
And yet the Tea Party fraction, okay, they cheer their guys like Ted Cruz, who reads Seuss on the Senate floor, okay? And these guys, just keep cheering as their party loses election after election. And in 2016, they're going to lose to a Democratic president. In 14, they're probably going to lose more seats in the Senate and more seats in the House. So we're seeing that their effectiveness is, their strategy is bad. And
hey, caller, hold on, because I know Matt wants to answer you. But before Matt answers you, let me say this. I'm just going to pose a question. Is politics about winning and losing, or right and wrong? Go ahead, Matt.
That's exactly where I'm going. I'm actually happy to see the Republican Party warring within themselves, because it shows that the people within it, or at least a faction, some would call it the Tea Party, some would call it other type factions, are willing to stand up for their beliefs of what is right and wrong. Unlike the Democrat Party, where they march in lockstep no matter what that path is. That's what the difference is, sir. I would rather be part of a party and part of a house that will have the I'm trying to be nice about this on radio, that has the gumption, I guess, the will to be able to question itself on what is right and wrong. That's what's going on with the Republicans. And if they destroy themselves, then so be it. As long as there will eventually be... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was all about politics. I thought it was about more than that, sir. Substance.
What are we discussing here? Elections, and they have consequences.
No,
those
you're
that win
elections. Discussing elections.
No, see, well, no, that's, see, that's, hold on. That's not, that's not, that, that's a bad, that's a bad term. That's a bad, that's a bad cliche on elections have consequences. That's bad. That's not.
But they do. We're seeing it.
No. President Obama started that mess, and then John McCain picked it up also. No, elections do not have consequences. Elections have outcomes. And no matter at the end of the day, what is supposed to happen at the end of the election, I'm supposed to win or lose, but I'm supposed to represent America and Americans with due diligence.
And 90% disapprove of the work that Congress is doing, and 70% blame the GOP in these polls. You could denounce the polls, that's fine. But when you say that these guys are willing to stand up for what they believe, it's not the will of the people. The people don't want the government to default or brinksmanship as a political tactic. The people don't want it, so yet they're going against the will of the people.
Again.
I just want to bring this out. I just want to say this. Out of the 90% that he's talking about, you're only talking about maybe 25 to 30% of the country that actually participated in these polls or voting.
Okay.
So we're not talking
sure.
about
which,
the entire.
Which would make the poll much more scientific than any other poll taken.
But
most
let me
polls,
also say this.
Most presidential polls take a cross-section of not even 1% of the population. And
sure, but the rest don't care. Most people don't care about
well,
this stuff. They just want to go to work.
And they're usually accurate within 4 percentage points. So scientific polling is effective, and it is accurate. Go ahead.
I agree.
But even with the polling, this is what I'm saying. We have allowed our political climate to turn into a win and lose situation. And the only one that loses here is the American people. And until we wake up and understand that, then we are really going to be in a bad state of mind. And that's something that we need to pay attention to. I don't think we understand that. Elections have outcomes. They don't have consequences.
Well, if you disagree...
And what's happened in the last elections, we've turned this into I win, you lose, I'm going to do this, and do the wrong thing. And we've got to cut that out. That's why we're losing. That's why our children are walking around looking like zombies. That's why we don't have work. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. So we've got, that, as the American people, if we love the Constitution, we've got to change that.
Can I say
something?
Hold on just a second, Brown.
I think it's crazy to hear that you said that the right way.
What did you say, Bonnie?
I said I think that it's time Tracy hears that she's saying the right thing. Everybody wants to say something, and no one ever says thank you, Tracy, for being here, listening to all this sometimes garbage, listening to facts. And the main part of your show today was about money. And we talk about how we, as a group of people, are getting ripped off as Americans. And yet there has yet to be an answer on what we should be doing. We're talking about race and politics and who's losing and winning. And I agree with Matt. Matt's 100% right. The Constitution is what makes us Americans. The Constitution is the one that gives you the freedom to have this radio program. I just don't get it. We have a right as Americans to work and educate our children and believe how we want to believe.
And
I think it'd be really, you know, I'm glad that the Republicans are getting a little shake in their shoes because they deserve it.
And as a matter of fact, if you want to know the truth about it, we need to shake all their shoes and shake them all
Absolutely.
Out of office because none of them are doing the job. 692, go ahead.
I'm with you, Tracy, that, you know, the whole system is corrupt. I'm with you that Democrats and Republicans have too much money in the system. I'm with all of those problems on a macro level that there are major systemic problems that, you know, campaign finance or that corporations can vote with their money like people. And all those problems that I agree with you 100% on a macro level. But on a micro level, we've got people saying, yeah, it's good that we shake up the system and maybe shake up the financial markets a little bit and scare people that, you know, we could default and let's plunge the world into another Great Depression, or at least threaten it because we don't want Obamacare, which we know is wrong, even though we haven't tried it yet. Everyone's made these claims about Social Security and Medicare when that was going through. And we no one's really even tried. If this thing's so bad, let it fail and let's repeal it. Okay?
I agree with that. My problem is I want us to stop allowing other entities to exempt out. See, I want them to make the bill run as it should. I have a problem when you have major corporations, and we're not going to make them effective until next year. Then we're going to make something like some unions, they have waivers, so they don't have to abide by these laws. I got problems. If you want, stand on its own 2 feet and let it do what it does.
I don't even have a problem with the exemptions. I say let those go through and let that be part of the paying of the bill. That's what they wanted. That's what they'll get.
Okay, that's fine. My concern is, though, with this brinksmanship, every time a party, mostly the GOP, doesn't get their way, they want to threaten the shutdown of the government. What's next? It's not just Obamacare.
No, 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 no.
Is it gun control and abortion next that we are now shutting down the government because one party
You realize, I mean, you got to understand.
Correct.
You got to understand, shutting down the government the way things are going. You remember, whether it be Republicans or Democrats, remember they came up with a 3-month deal. In July, I believe we had something else going on. I think it was sequester. And back in March or May, we had something else going
on.
That
was a sequester. The last one was the government. Then there's the debt ceiling.
And then there was sequester,
yeah.
And there was debt ceiling, and then there was budget, and then there was shutdown, and then there was going. Instead of them just doing their job. But remember, they get paid a nice, handsome $160,000 to go to work that they don't have anybody to answer to, and they don't answer to us either.
Yeah.
They walk into that office broke or with debt, and they come out wealthy. I don't think we understand
that. After the last, the previous 17 government shutdowns, 13 of those 17 either had Democrats had complete control of the Senate and the House or one of those houses and the presidency. So it was more on the side of the Democrats for the last 13 of the last 17 government shutdowns. So the comment that Republicans always want to threaten... Always want to threaten government shutdown is incorrect and historically and wrong.
And not only that, you got to understand both. Hold on, Diva. Both sides are guilty of manipulating the process of the system. And we need to be honest about that.
That's the game. This is the game. They're playing the game.
Yeah, but the thing is, I'm the pawn. I'm the pawn and not... I'm the pawn on the board, and they treat the American people as the pawns on the chessboard, and we need to grow up and start becoming a knight, a rook, a queen, and our king, but we need to quit being the pawns because we all know pawns are expendable.
It's the way of life. I'm sorry, but, if you're not a king, born a king or a queen, I'm just saying that's the game. The game is politics, okay? And if the Republicans aren't playing the game and they're losing and they're letting an extreme small fraction, okay, that's the danger here, is that when you start letting extremists, I say that I think the Tea Party is an extreme fraction within the Republican Party, because they're not willing to compromise. Well, politics is about, historically, about compromise. They're a fraction that is unwilling to compromise on their beliefs. Everyone else is wrong. Take it to the limit. Shut down the whole dang thing. Crash the whole system if we have to. To get our way. That's a dangerous game that other countries have played and lost within their own government.
I want to talk a little bit about the Tea Party, because these folks are not extremists, and that term for them is a little bit old. I represented a number of these groups, and they were being formed. These are ordinary folks. These aren't politicians. These are people that are raising their kids, people who've got farms. These are people who believe in small government and fiscal responsibility. The Tea Party is the spawn of Obamacare. That was the spark that set the Tea Party off and got it going.
The Tea Party first came out, okay, and I remember the Tea Party first came out, and they were out in the streets when the bailout.
I'm going to take a break.
Even though it was the main story nonstop all day on TV, radio, the internet, I suspect that most people still don't understand what happened. So we went out onto Hollywood Boulevard today, and we asked the following question. Do you think Republicans did the right thing by allowing Obamacare to move forward, even though the impending debt crisis could defund additional sequester furloughs and national parks and default ceiling fans? Now, that doesn't mean anything at all. It's just a bunch of buzzwords crammed together. But it sounds like it should mean something, and so people answered it anyway. Here is our confusing question of the day.
Do you think the Republicans did the right thing by allowing Obamacare to move forward, even though the impending debt crisis could defund additional sequester furloughs and national parks and default ceiling fans?
Yes, because the government needs to start getting going. I mean, the extra debt that's accumulated and the repercussions are bad, but I think universal health care will be a greater benefit for all.
Do you think that the debt ceiling fan should be oscillating?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I feel like it can oscillate to a certain extent, but you don't, with that, there's always the idea that you can just keep raising the debt. And I think that there should be a cap on how much debt should be raised to.
And do you think the Republicans did the right thing by allowing Obamacare to move forward, even though the impending debt crisis?
No.
So you think the Republicans were wrong to default on the ceiling fans?
I do.
Do you think that the ceiling fans need to be reupholstered? Like, what would be the right thing to do?
Yeah, I guess so. I would say they need to be reupholstered.
Do you think the debt ceiling should be powered by electric or solar power?
Wow. Probably solar power, right? Solar power would be good.
Of all the sequesters in our government, who is your favorite?
Bill Clinton.
Do you think the ceiling fan should be allowed to oscillate?
I think we need to consider maybe not having one. Maybe another solution.
Or maybe,
you know,
putting it,
I mean,
on a low setting?
Something.
Yeah.
You know, something that...
Because it shakes around so much when it's, like, high, you know? Which do you prefer, sequester or a furlough?
Furlough.
How come?
Well... I'm sorry, I don't exactly understand what you're asking.
You're far.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Beasley.
Oh, wow.
Beasley, you still there? Wow, I was going to apologize to the guy for something I said earlier, and he's not there.
Yeah, that's it, he left.
Holy moly. All right. Well, I just wanted to tell him that, I called him out for the, calling us crybabies because we didn't get what we want, and then he answered that. I was going to apologize because he said that he went against the party when Bush got reelected the second time.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to apologize for that.
One thing, we were crying the day after the election. It wasn't when he got reelected, because it was the first election that came into question, not the second.
Oh, the second came into question, too, absolutely.
Well, no, we
weren't. Are you guys talking about Bush winning the election? You're talking about that one?
Yeah.
Yes, Bush,
okay.
The second one was
about
what?
The
Bush
one where
Kerry,
he was accused of cheating.
Yeah,
John Kerry, right?
Correct.
Second one, we were that he was not qualified. Well, they were saying he was not qualified to run because he was given the first one. But again, I'm like, well, the Supreme Court answered, so there you go. He was president. That was that.
I heard about it for months afterwards. I can't speak for the entire country, but I heard about it for quite some time.
My grandmother was a Democrat. I heard it for years.
And there's some who still. The thing we're going to be hearing about Obamacare.
Absolutely.
My only problem with this, I hate to call it Obamacare, but everybody does, so I will.
Obama calls it Obamacare.
Granted extensions on the mandate to corporations and unions, and if this thing is this much of a mess, and nobody's sure about what's going on, and everybody's in turmoil, and the IRS can't explain half of it, and the facilitators aren't trained, the 16,000 people are supposed to be teaching you how to understand it, and they don't even understand it, can't even pass a basic test on the stuff, and it's their job to teach people, then what would it hurt to give the individuals the same privilege that you gave to the corporations and the unions, postpone the whole darn thing for 1 year, and let everybody work on the bugs in it, get it fixed, and because if it is the law, and Judge Roberts says it's a tax, as he said, and he is Supreme Court judge, and again, we're a nation of laws, then if it's truly a tax, then the real question is, we need a legal opinion. Someone needs to sue the IRS, and that's just a term. That doesn't mean we're going to actually sue them. It's just called sue the IRS for a legal opinion whether or not the executive office can grant tax exemption status or amnesty or whatever you want to call it under the tax code to any individuals once Congress has passed the law. Because if we're talking about the law being passed, then the law has got to be followed.
Go ahead, Diva.
I have a question, okay, because you guys keep talking about these exemptions. But I want to know, do you guys actually know what the Affordable Health Care Act is and how it works? I know what you don't like about it, but tell me what it is and how it works.
I would like you to ask Nancy Pelosi and most of the leadership at the left the same question.
No, I'm not asking
to understand.
No, I'm asking.
And they still don't understand
it.
Can I tell you what I know about it? Because this is Bonnie, Diva, and my grandchildren have public assistance health care. Their parents are out of their picture. So because I did not adopt them, they have to have public assistance health care. And you've talked about it openly on, so I know that you know a little bit about that part. But because I am their grandmother, I have to have independent health care.
Hold on, guys.
Whoops, sorry. I didn't know you were back.
Hey, glad to see, hate to see you, Mike. Go, Matt. Hope to see you tomorrow, because Jeff and I will be here, and who knows what we're going to talk about. Mark wanted to say that he didn't know something.
Yeah, I want
Mark
to tell
knows
the,
it all.
Yeah, didn't, you know, I
didn't know something.
My experience with the Tea Party here is I incorporated a couple of them here in Ohio. And the folks that I were dealing with, it was a direct result of Obamacare. They came in, and that's what got them motivated. But you're right. The Tea Party's been around for a long time. And it originated back in, I believe, Massachusetts. And it's a tax thing with tax day.
Taxed enough already.
But the national scope of it certainly developed after President Obama got elected and moved to national prominence. I mean, that was the vehicle they used, this group of people, to go forward. These people are not radicals. They're not extreme.
Most of them, let me say it this way, Mark, and I think the Tea Party has been hijacked on two levels. The media defined them, but there are some people out there that have taken on the leadership of the Tea Party without it being an organized organization.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've used them for their leverage.
Right.
And then the media has used them as a scapegoat for anything that they want to talk about.
Sure.
And then you put them inside of Congress, and then you have Michelle Bachmann. And yesterday, you know, they have an actual caucus, but doesn't really carry any weight. And then they said that they're blaming them for everything. But then I know that Portman and Bill Johnson are not, neither one of them are Tea Party people.
No.
Yet both of them did not vote for what was going on.
Well, you know, they're representing their constituency. Let's start with that. These guys that are sent to Washington are sent there to represent their constituency, not the country as a whole. I mean, there's a debate as to whether these guys, what would the approach they should take, and that's a legitimate debate. But I think the problem I have when they start going after the Tea Party is that I'm a student of the, you know, I'm a creature of the 1960s. You know, I graduated from high school in 68 and Ohio State University in 72, and I saw the protests down at Ohio State University, and we were dealing with the Weather Underground. We were dealing with SNCC. We were dealing with all sorts of these leftist radical organizations. And the remnants of those organizations are still floating around today. And while the mainstream media and the press has gone on and want to attack the Tea Party, you don't hear them talking about Bill Ayers. You don't hear them talking about President Obama's preacher in Chicago. You know, those folks have been completely ignored. They're every bit as radical, if not more so, than the Tea Party, because I don't see the Tea Party blowing up buildings and destroying property.
You know I'm trying to get Bill Ayers to come on.
That'd be great.
You going to be on that day?
I'd love to be on that day.
Guys, should I let Mark on that day?
No, I'm just joking.
Because you know he's a new book out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you guys read it, and then we'll all come on and talk about it. Don't you think that's a good idea, guys?
Sure.
I think it would be... saw his interview on Morning Joe, and I thought it was very interesting.
I thought it was pretty good, too.
I mean, he's decided to come out since President Obama's been reelected because, you know, his first election, they hid him away. He wasn't allowed to come out and really speak. And he said one thing, and then after that, they put him in the closet. So.
Hey, dear, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something?
What?
He came out because of dollar bills. Can you say
dividends? Wait a minute. This guy's coming out. He's selling a book to make money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Money?
Absolutely.
I didn't think they made, but why doesn't he assign his profits to somebody?
Mark, we're capitalists. And this is a capitalistic society. You got Republican capitalists. Did you know that Bloomberg bought Heinz ketchup?
Yes.
You know that was a deal made in heaven?
Yes.
So you have the advisor to the president cutting a deal with the family of the Secretary of State?
Yes.
For a Pittsburgh firm?
Yes. That's called making friends.
That's what you call making friends and making money.
That's called crony capitalism.
Absolutely, at the highest level.
Which is, I go back to our statement, this guy sitting in Washington's not a friend of you and me.
So John McCain's money was bad because it was Republican?
Yes.
And Cindy McCain's money was bad because it was Republican?
Yes.
But Heinz money is good because it's Democrat.
No, it's because of what's-her-face.
Teresa?
Yes.
No.
The lovely Teresa Heinz.
Listen, Teresa Heinz, Heinz Ketchup, Heinz Field, Heinz Ward, Pittsburgh Steelers, all of them live together there in Pittsburgh. Let me tell you this. So
and
we
Terry's
all,
boat.
That's right.
He doesn't want to pay taxes on.
Does anyone
understand? I mean, here's the thing, though. These folks, it's the hypocrisy that gets me. Listen, I'm involved. I do a lot of work in town. For a number of nonprofit organizations, and one of them is having some difficulties right now. That needs some volunteer work, and the volunteers want to be paid.
Guess what? You're not going to get no work.
No work unless you get paid. I think what gets me is that they're preaching that people ought to be volunteering. Well, okay, now we need a volunteer. Oh, no, we have to be paid. Okay, well, how does that work? Explain that to me. I'll
explain to you?
Yeah.
I only work for the Benjamins. If the Benjamins are not being paid, no working.
Well, what happened to the good of society and the good of humanity? And, you know, it's just money.
That's
and we need
crazy.
To work for
That's
the common
you crazy
good.
Republicans doing that kind of stuff for because we love what we do. Hold on. Local call, your mic is on.
I just wanted to say hi to my friend. And I was wondering, he never introduced me to the doctor he was talking to. His name was Dr. A.M. Teeny. Is that who you were with the other night, Mark? I didn't get to meet him.
Jeff, you called on the
How
local
you doing,
line.
Jeff?
I'm doing good, my friend.
Hold
on. I just wanted to say hey.
Hold on, Jeff.
I was with Jeff a little bit on Saturday night. We were partying with you know, a little bit on Saturday night.
As a matter
night.
Of fact, I heard you were cutting a rug.
Yeah.
And he laughed. 8782, your mic is on.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
You know, I've been listening to your show for the last hour, so probably a little longer. And I want to know, what is it about race that's such a significant issue here in this part of Ohio? It's talked about and played up as if you guys grew up in the South and you have some knowledge of what racism was.
I
grew up in the South.
Can I answer that question?
Sure, go ahead.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. You know, first of all, you know, I've thought about this for a while, and you talk about the South, but where Tracy and I are right now, we are just 30 miles from what used to be Virginia. You know, and slavery was just right across the river. They would cross the Ohio River and come up here. We have a lot of the Underground Railroad way stops over in this part of the country. And you're talking about, when you talk about the Civil War, 500,000 Americans died during that war. It was just an unbelievable amount of carnage, and I think it's left a permanent scar on the nation.
I know that, but you're talking about 100 years ago, I grew up in the South. My father would have killed to get a steel mill job. He didn't have that advantage. His kids don't go around complaining of racism, you're holding me down because I'm black. I only hear that here. Don't understand it.
Caller, can I help you out? I can answer this question.
Go ahead.
Because it makes a good reason for not doing and being productive.
I would accept that because it holds the entire community, the whole area of Youngstown and the county and virtually the entire state back. Because white community is intrinsically tied together. This to fan the racial flames is like ignorant to the point that the blacks are the only ones who suffer. If I were white and I hear all this racism is because of slavery. You know, my stepfather had to step off of a curb, you know, to let a white man pass in the South when he was growing up. I understand it, but you guys up here, you know, that's never been a part of your background.
Sir?
That's never been a part of your knowledge. I'm 60 years old. I've seen segregation and having to go to a back of a restaurant when I visited my dad in the upper part of Florida.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand that you are of the Black American descent, and you said you're 60 years old, 60 plus years old. I understand that. So you've seen a lot in your lifetime, especially if you're saying you're coming from the South.
Let me finish.
Okay, so let's throw that into the pot here as well for your perception. Unfortunately, for the Ohio area, specifically the Mahoning County area, I can't speak about any other counties in the northeastern Ohio area, but specifically the Mahoning County area, we have, if you will, a noose still around the neck of racism, and every now and again when it seems like the noose has been loosened, we find little things, little knots that make it seem like, oh, the noose was not loosened. They just made it seem as though. And it sounds, what Tracy is saying is true. It makes it very easy for the black American in this particular area to be non-productive and or just not want to contribute to what you call the community. It does make it very easy for that, but the truth of the matter is Youngstown, for as long as I've been here, and I'm very, very much younger than you, sir, but as long as I've been here, Youngstown has never been black American friendly. And
can I say this to you?
Rick, hold on.
Hey, 782, hold on. Let me hold on. Let me say this. I believe that the racism that is in the Mahoning Valley comes from the racism and the systemic racism, a part of its infrastructure politically being a one-party system and a union stronghold.
Well, I believe it.
Haven't the blacks, the senior citizen male black population here, don't they have retirement packages and benefits from when they worked in the mills when they were
kids?
No, Frank.
You can't equate racism to money. But you have to understand the people.
The people that worked in the steel mill.
Hold on, the people that worked in the steel mill, remember, they were in certain jobs based upon their race and ethnicity. So it depends on what their ethnic group was, where they worked. If they were European, they might be white collar. If they were Irish, they'd be somewhere else. If they were Italian, they were somewhere else. If they were Croatian, they were somewhere else. But you knew that black folks were always at the blast furnace.
Well,
so you have to understand. Listen to what I'm saying. Frank, you got to
understand
how. So what I'm saying is, remember, here in the Mahoning Valley, it has always been divided, not necessarily by color, but it's always been divided by race, no matter what the race was.
By race and class. Definitely.
Absolutely.
By class.
And
well,
so,
how
you gotta,
explain,
hold on, hold on, because you remember.
Kids from the South.
But no, Frank.
All the racism there,
because there was racism here.
Frank, racism was here.
And don't get me wrong. And remember, you have to understand the reason why we don't have plumbers and pipe fitters inside the organization and people, because they shut people out of the craft long time ago based upon who was going to get into what part of the union.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Let me clarify something for the young man. Think about this. In 1977, my father put a down payment on a house, okay? And in that year, the neighbors of that house found out it was a black man, and they all bound together because they had signed a pact not to sell to any blacks. They had got bound together and tried to buy the contract from the company. They knew my father was a lawyer, and I don't think they thought that the company could get away with it. So they had to reject that offer. And guess what? Some of those names that were on that contract to keep my father out of that house are prominently placed throughout politics in the Mahoning Valley today. And guess what? Not nearly one of them is a Republican. So understand that in this area, you have some very nasty racist people that it has been inbred in, and that's what you deal with. I'm not stupid to think that somebody is not.
So that's the reason for the overall
racism
initiative and success in this community. That's the overall reason why the crime and the just the inability to do any damn thing exists here. Is that why?
Say that again? No, but no, no. But listen.
No,
but
that's not the reason.
No,
let me. That's not the reason.
But do you guys understand? I was going to say, do you guys really understand that the reason why we're in the mess that we're in right now is when white flight came to Youngstown, they made sure that they took the money out the system and made sure that the people that were inside the school system during the late '70s and the early '80s did not get the education that was needed. So they would have you coloring and coloring books while you were in class in high school and not teaching you and pushing you through the system. I mean, so
I said that, Tracy. That experience, when my mom and dad bought a house in the suburbs in Miami, Florida, they experienced that. The school system went down and everything. But is that the reason? If that was the cause, I would not have even attempted to do anything. No one else
right.
would have attempted to do anything. But here,
but a lot
it's
of,
like it's okay just to do nothing and to waller in the attitude. It's because I'm black. It's why.
But no, now, you know I don't stand for that.
I don't get that.
You know, I don't stand for that. Don't get me wrong. I believe in overcoming, but I do understand that a lot of things happen here by design. You have to understand they kept people ignorant here so they could keep the voting block here so that they could make sure that they stayed in control here. Because remember, there was a lot of money going around through here, and they were doing a lot of dumb stuff. And as long as we kept on toeing the line, and we're still doing it today, don't ask any questions. They could stay in power and in control. That's how you can have a county that is so white, but yet we can support everybody and not have anybody black in the county.
Hey, but Tracy, you know what? There's a movie getting ready to come out, and I think this goes to my point that I'm getting ready to make. Sir, you made the statement of the history of Ohio, and as a matter of fact, the gentleman that's in the studio with you now, Tracy, he said that Ohio was right next door, 30 miles outside of Virginia, which was a slave state. Ohio was considered a free state. I think one of the misconceptions that we have in our history is we assume that the states that were considered to be free states by law, that there was no racism in those states. And that is one of the biggest misconceptions in our American history as a people. There was a lot of racism in the North. It was just not as blunt as it was in the South. As a matter of fact, it was probably much more dangerous in the North, which is, I think, one of the reasons why the movie that's getting ready to come out, 12 Years a Slave, the gentleman lived in upstate New York, a free state. But however it happened, he ended up becoming a part of slavery in a southern state because of racism. Now, you're saying, sir, that he should have been an overcomer, and he should have never had to be subjected to that. The truth of the matter is, if they don't like you, and they can be anybody. It could be a black person that's racist against other black people. If they don't like you, they're just not going to like you. That's the definition of prejudice. There's no legitimate reason not to like you. I just don't like you. And we assume that just because Ohio and Pennsylvania, New York and Illinois, and any other state that at the time was considered a free state, that there was no racism, there was no prejudice. No, there was still racism that existed. My parents told me all about it. My grandparents told me all about it. It existed.
And not only that, let me also, what'd you say?
If you wanted to abolish slavery, some of them were still racist or bigoted. James Madison was a bigot. He didn't agree with the institution of slavery, but he was still a bigot. He wanted all the Africans to be shipped right back to Africa. He said
Abraham
that no free
Abraham Lincoln was the same way.
You know, back at the time of the Revolution, the slave trade was run out of Massachusetts and New York City. The ships went from there. They did the trade on northern ships and northern trade. So there's plenty of racism to go around in this country, no matter, you know,
where
you are.
Let me say it this way, and I'll be honest. If you ask me why we are the way we are, it's because of our political institution, and it is to the core. And as long as they keep you ignorant, they can keep control of the power and the money and the influence that's coming in here.
It has caused us in Youngstown to be such an inept society, and it's just appalling that we wallow in it, and we use it like, oh, okay, I don't have to, and it's because of this. It hurts me to hear it all of the time, like it's a crutch.
Yes, sir. It definitely upsets you. And Tracy, I think it goes back to my statement. The truth of the matter is, anyone that knows how is 9 times out of 10 going to be able to find employment. But unless you know why, the person that knows how will work for that person that knows why. And what we've done with slavery is we've taught people how to work, but we never told them why they work. And so now, sir, when you're talking about what's happening here in the city of Youngstown, people don't even want to work. They don't even want to know how anymore because, they've just never been trained, and two, they don't understand why.
Drug selling is an industry in Youngstown. It employs more people here in Youngstown than the major industries in Youngstown.
So Frank, question. So why would I could destroy my business when I'm making money and I ain't going to jail for it? Come on now. Let's be real about this. I got to go. I'll see you guys on the road. God bless.
Go ahead, take care.
You've been listening to Afternoons